This week, teams plan to start bringing a Patsy into their Overwatch game. Someone who will cheat, stop the game they're losing, and spare their teammates the MMR loss. The cat and mouse game continues. This is just one pessimistic view of tonight's news. The rest of the discussion and happier news starts right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back. It's another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio live tonight with episode number 784 for this July the 14th of 2019. My name is Rob Roberts, and joining me here in studio, say hello to the one and only Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
Sup?
Sometimes on camera, but sometimes not. It's her choice.
Sometimes I notice when part of my face is on camera and I lean back.
That's why I let you know where the boundary line is before we start. You're gonna just show a little leg, you know, show a little da-na-na-na-na. All right.
My mostly covered leg with my cat socks.
Twitch after dark tonight. I hope I didn't violate the TOS. Sorry, I didn't mean to. If I was showing a little leg. Is that violating TOS on Twitch? I don't know.
No.
All right. Anyway. Please don't bust us. Anyway, also joining us here in studio, well, he's showing a little leg in those shorts, actually, but I think it's off screen. Techmaster Loki.
No, it's all on screen.
Showing it all for the world to see.
How scandalous, yes. Showing knees on screen.
A scandalo. How are you, Loki?
I'm fine.
So you got here to the studio a little late tonight. You were walking in during our little phone call with Bobby Blackwolf at the end there, and I'm assuming it's dinner related.
Yes.
That some incompetent person took too long to make your food, right? It's usually
I just left too late because I was making food at home, and then I had to put away laundry before I left.
Dope.
And then it just took too long, so I ended up leaving like 20 minutes late.
Fucking chores ruin everything.
Well, it's my own food. It's because tomorrow I start this thing at work. It's like a fitness health thing. And so I had to make detox soup, which is a fancy way of saying, like, it's got a bunch of vegetables in it.
Detoxing is bullshit. Wow. You have a liver.
I understand. I completely understand. But it's just a vegetable soup is really what it is.
Okay, so you're following up a vegetable soup with, I see, that's like
it's
double bacon.
It's Sunday. Detox. It's not Monday. Monday is when I start. So I am going to be detoxing from a extra bacon pizza.
You are doing the classic, I'm going on a diet tomorrow, therefore I'm going to eat like absolute shit today to give myself more to work on.
I just
on.
Think you're doing the Lord's work.
It's just because I've got to weigh in tomorrow and the few pounds that are right about where I'm at now are really easy for me to lose. So it's just stacking the deck.
God.
So you're building gas. And
you're cheating the weight loss game. You're cheating at a weight loss competition at work. You're stacking the deck. I can't believe you.
That's what I do with the meditation challenge at
work. I'm acquiring mass.
I play the meditation app, and then I go just leave it on in the corner while I'm playing a video game.
Wow.
I'm not meditating.
Am I the only one that takes these work challenges? Like, and I actually do. We had the last one we did at work was a step challenge.
Oh, I'm gonna take it serious. I'm just like, you know. I'm eating the pizza today because this is the only meal I've had, so
okay,
it's
one
fun.
Of those I will not do is the close the rings challenge because that's bullshit. I don't close the rings on purpose. Every time I close my rings on my Apple Watch, I get this thing from Rob. Hey, well done. I'm like, girl, I just marched in pride.
Wait, did I? Oh, yeah. No, I do. I do try to send those. Well, okay, so those that aren't part of like the Apple Watch cult or whatever, like you have these rings. So you have one for if you stand 12 hours out of every day, right? You have another one for burning 500 calories in a day. Well, that's my goal. I think you can set it whatever you want. Mine's at 500. And then you have another one for – and she's showing them on our Twitch TV because we do tape live every Sunday night at the Voice Geeks Network, vognetwork.com.
That middle one is my exercise one, which I've done jack shit today.
Vognetwork.com at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. So she's showing that off there on Twitch. But, of course, our audio-only podcast is always free. The rings, one is for standing, one is for calories. The other one is for actual exercise.
And then you die in 7 days.
That one can be a little tricky because the watch has to kind of like detect that you're actually moving or like that your heart rate is up past a certain point. I'm not sure what it's detecting.
It's like, I don't know why it didn't trigger though when I was actually at Pride because it did it when I was trekking around all over, the Fillmore.
Yeah. There's plenty of days where like I will burn like 750 calories. Like I'll smash my red circle goal and I have 0 minutes of exercise.
Yeah. I'm like that every day. I put my daily burn. I've done the calculation and I put my daily limit for 550, mm-hmm. although I'm about to bump it up to 600 because I've been easily surpassing that lately. But it's like, but like right today, I'm almost at that goal, and my green ring for workout is like nothing. So whatevs.
But anyway, so if you're not in this Apple thing, so you can follow friends on there. And if a friend of yours actually closes all the rings, you can like send a little message from your phone. And generally, they're pretty encouraging, like, hey, you smashed that goal, or good for you, or like applause emojis. But I found, and what Melody and I do is that we actually send one of the like 20% that will show up that are like these complete bitchy remarks that you can reply with. Like one of them says, oh, did you miss the bus today? Like there's these really like mean things you can send. So Melanie and I have taken to sending those to each other when we smash goals. And like sometimes I'll get a middle finger emoji back or something. And it's fun. And it's
And see, I don't use whatever's built into it. Because most of the time I'm replying from my phone. So I just make up my own snark.
Yeah.
It's like, girl, I was just walking to the store and I'm in San Francisco. It was uphill.
Now, I know it's a video game podcast, but I think this is still on topic because this is the gamification of, you know, goals like exercise, which I think we've kind of seen for several years. It's just, you know, Apple has their own way of doing it with the watch, but we've certainly seen other ways of like gamifying, you know, weight loss and that type of stuff before.
Well, there's like the RPG system from NerdFit where you level up based on your accomplishments. 'Cause I used to do that number.
I remember some like nerd RPG thing that they showed at like GamerX one year or something. And some of us kind of got on that right after that. And I think that might be what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'll be perfectly honest that for me, I'm not competitive. So I only share like with two people, and that's like you and one of my coworkers, because I'm not competitive and I don't want my health to be regulated to a competition.
That's fair. You know, your body, your choice.
But for me to have it set a certain goals that, like, I'm leveling myself up, that's certainly much easier to me. It makes a lot more sense for me to do this for myself as my own single player, not MMO. You know how I am on an MMO anyway. I just play by myself.
But, excuse me, I will say the gamification in some ways kind of works because, like, the month and a half or so that I was going to the gym, I was going to the gym very regularly and I was closing my circles every single day. And that was right up until I left for Chicago. And I actually probably lost a good like 10 pounds in that month. Now I would say I've gained a good chunk of it back because I kind of fell out of the habit after I went on vacation. I came back and then I started doing other things. I've been playing that other game I've talked about on previous episodes. It's been taking up a lot of my free time. And like, I have to rush home to do things because of time zones and stuff. So I've really fallen off the gym bandwagon, and that's kind of a bummer, but you know, gamification will hopefully help me get back on that. And you know, the anticipation of nasty messages from Melody when I achieve my goals, it could be motivating a little bit. Now, going to our chat room, of course.
See you, Tiberi.
Yeah, we do have, of course, our live chat room over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork when we do tape live. See you, Tiberi is saying that Google Fit, which, you know, would be obviously the other side of things, not Apple, but Google, says has its circles, but it's heart points and move minutes.
Yeah, they got rid of their circles when they just, you know, they shut down Google Plus.
Well, and I'm sure Fitbit has their own thing. Like everybody has like a something on that.
Fitbit
sort of
just has
spectrum.
Like you can compare yourself with like other people, like to see like where you're at with your goals during the day.
That's right. Because I had a Fitbit before I had Apple Watch. Yeah, I remember.
See, Tiberi says you fell out of the habit. Did you return the habit to the nunnery? Like, which of us here is the actual drag nun? That would be this bitch.
I saw a shirt at Spencer's that totally made me think of you. It was something about how many fucks do I have to give? And it's a nun flipping you off. It says none, N-U-N.
I need that.
Yeah, you need to check that out. Anyway, Pixel Pacas in chat says the name of that RPG was Habit RPG. I think it got renamed to Habitica. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but it's probably gone through some evolutions there as well. So anyway, there you go. Gamification of exercise and other things that we do in life. Heck, counting calories in a way is gamification a little bit. It's very, I know it's a stretch, but
one of the things that I've actually left feedback for is that I would love for it to register my weightlifting, because you don't always get your heart rate up as high when you do, but it's a steadier heart rate. And I would like for it to register what the heart rate is when you're lifting, doing hard lifting, as opposed to just cardio, because there is more to exercise than cardio. There is wanting to turn oneself into Linda Hamilton from Terminator 2. I'm just saying.
Which is a lofty goal, yes.
One of these days, I'm going to have those guns.
Or hell, even the new Terminator movie. Have you seen what she looks like in this new Terminator movie?
Probably still just as awesome.
Considering her age, she still looks great. So
I wanted to. I really, that's like been, ever since I saw Terminator 2, I'm like, holy shit, I want those arms. And Dan's like, those aren't very feminine arms. I'm like, fuck you. Those are womanly arms. And they will punch you in the dick. They will punch a man in the liver.
Punch your gender roles right out of here.
No, they will punch a man in the kidneys until he pees blood. Just saying.
Wow. Okay.
Those are goals. Those are goals.
Okay.
Fuck the patriarchy. I will kick the patriarchy so hard.
All right. But where were we? I'm sorry. You totally lost. You went off.
Linda base. Hamilton.
Yeah, I know. There's something before that. Oh, well.
Exercise.
Yeah,
rings.
Exercise. It's great. Yes.
We should do it.
Yes.
At some point.
I know. All right. When my other stuff settles down, I guess it's going to have to be after Dragon Con at this point. So We'll see. Anyway. All right. Let's get into some gaming news and stuff that's going on around the industry. This is the big story from this week. And I know a lot of people are talking about this because Nintendo kind of surprised us with it.
What? Surprised us with this is totally unheard of.
I know. Although this is also one of those things where it's kind of been rumored for a little while. And I know some of you don't put a lot of stock in rumors, but like some rumors are too loud to ignore, and this is one of them, is that the Nintendo Switch was going to get a smaller version, a light version. It should be worth noting that many of the rumors have included that the Switch will be getting a Pro version as well. However, nothing has been officially confirmed in that context.
But that rumor was supposed to be for next year.
Yeah, and those rumors kind of shifted to that was being delayed about another year, and that only the light version would be happening. And this week, Nintendo themselves confirmed, yes, the Nintendo Switch Lite, it's real. It's going to be coming September 20th, and the price for this is $200. But the irony about it is a Switch that does not switch. So it is a Switch in name only, which, you know, that is the console's name. The little Joy-Con, there's no detachable Joy-Cons. Those do not pop off. So if you have any games that require those, such as, I don't know, 1-2 Switch, I'm sure there's some other games, you actually can't play those games with this console.
But I'm going to give you a very big reason to bring out a Switch like this. Animal Crossing.
Sure.
People want to be able to take their villages on the go, and they may not want to take a fully detachable. I want one of these. I really do want one. Mm-hmm. Because it'd be easier to play, you know, the RPGs on the go without having, you know, leaving the system where, say, Dan can't play it. And, of course, it's not like I paid anything for my Switch. So, I don't care.
Well, what they mean by Switch is switch from the 3DS to this new thing because the 3DS is dead now.
Well, yeah, I think that is definitely like that was my first reaction too. Is I was kind of like, finally they killed the 3DS, like that's done with. And I get it. And before DJ Rama S is in chat going boo, and I know he's not happy about this, but look, I'm not anti 3DS by any means, but I do think it is time for Nintendo to kind of put all their development stock in one place. And, you know, the Switch is just the more technologically kind of advanced system at this point. And I think it's probably for the best that they start to move away from the 3DS and the 2DS, and that this is probably the nail in the coffin of the 3DS. Not to say third-party developers, indies, homebrews, and I don't think Nintendo plans to necessarily, like, pull the plug on 3DS. I don't think you're going to see it. I don't think you're going to see that happen to the 3DS like it did with the Wii U. Like that they'll just
ghost it.
But they're gonna ghost it a little bit, and it's gonna kind of run on fumes with the third party developers and stuff for a little while.
What if though they come out later with like a Switch like this that has the 3D screen support?
That would be pretty cool. I'd be into that. Although I don't know,
they really worked hard on getting that 3D in for years before the 3DS.
Yeah, but 3D's not popular anymore.
And even Nintendo started to walk away from 3D because they had the 2DS that came out, you know, a little ways into the lifespan of the 3DS when a new Pokemon game was on the horizon. And I was going to say, it's funny you bring up Animal Crossing, and I think that is very legit. I think Animal Crossing is a great reason for a system like this. I think less people are actually pointing that out because the more obvious one is Pokemon. Pokemon is going to be the game that comes out first, and they're even doing a Pokemon themed, like there's a Sword and Shield themed Switch Lite. I will say this, even though personally I'm not interested in the Switch Lightless system, I have a regular Switch, and as far as I'm concerned, it's portable enough for what I need to do. But I get it's a little bigger. It needs its own case. I can't exactly put it in my pocket or in a little tiny bag or anything like that.
I can't put it in a pocket because women's pockets suck.
But you could put it in a purse or a small bag, right? Those Switch Lights are pretty.
If only they had women that designed clothes.
Oh, stop it. All right. Anyway. Where was I going to go? Oh, yes. So even though I personally don't plan on getting the Switch Lite, like, I'm pretty impressed at all the different, like, colors and design. Like, they're nice-looking systems. I will say that. Like, you know, if I had waited to get a Switch for whatever reason, I might be enticed just because these things look better than my boring gray Switch with the gray Joy-Cons.
And the fact that it doesn't play 1-2 Switch is even more of a plus.
Now, Bobby Blackwolf in our chat points out a very good point here, saying the only worry for me is that I hope developers don't abandon the features that aren't available on the Switch Lite, like HD Rumble, AR camera, and so forth. That's a very good concern, because now if you develop a game that's going to use the HR Rumble or even detachable Joy-Cons or what have you, you know that if somebody has a Switch Lite, they can't play your game. Now, I don't think there's a lot of games that rely on that anyway, but also, Bobby, I think an interesting sort of thing that may happen with that is that we know the Switch Lite is the thing, but we also know that Nintendo, I mean, we don't know, but if rumors are to be believed, hell, they ended up true in this case. Nintendo's also working on a Switch Pro. So they may develop something for this Switch Pro that does use those things, because they want to push people towards that Switch Pro come holiday 2020 or whenever they plan on putting that thing out. I mean, I don't know. It's certainly just
because market segmentation is great. Let's do that some more.
Mm-hmm. And then YYR kind of follows up Bobby's comment with, because you design for the lowest common denominator if you want the greatest reach. That is very true. I mean, how many games ended up being new 3DS? Very few.
Like,
very few.
10 to 20?
No, I don't even think it was that many, honestly, unless you count, like, the Super Nintendo Virtual Console. But anyway, let's see. Also, another comment I thought was really good. Where was it? Pixel Paca said, oh, yes. Now, this is in regards to the 3DS and its lifespan. Pixel Paca points out the Vita is still alive and getting games. The 3DS will still live as well, just not likely with continued support from Nintendo. I think that's a very good comparison to where I expect the 3DS to be. And in fact, I think the 3DS will be in a better place than the Vita is right now. Like, didn't Sony, like, finally, like, just kill support for the Vita officially?
They stopped making new systems, yeah.
Yeah, I think Nintendo and 3DS fans still have a couple years before Nintendo's going to get to that point. But yeah, I mean, that's a good example, is look at the Vita, and maybe that'll give you a little hope for those of you that are still, you know, excited about your 3DS. And I get that the 3DS has a distinct look to it with the top screen and the bottom screen. I wish there was a way that they could make some of those games work on the Switch if you tilted your Switch vertically. I don't know why this is completely outside the realm of possibility, especially when many games towards the end of life were very 2D only, because 2DSs were out there. So. And many people are saying that the Switch Lite is kind of like the 2DS of the Switch. The 2DS of the Switch.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, and I can kind of see that too. I don't think a lot of the, like, hardcore gamers will get this, but this is going to be a better system for kids or, like, teenagers. I could really see, like, the 13, 18 crowd. This would be a big thing.
Maybe. I just don't know. Like, last few years, it seems like Nintendo will come out with a system with some gimmicks to it, really push that at launch, and then completely abandon them, you know, as they go along. Kind of like they did with the 3DS. Woo, 3D graphics, or 3D without glasses. That was, like, amazing. And we don't use it anymore. Or, you know, with the Wii U, like, I'm trying to think, they were doing more stuff with that screen as, like, a second screen for some games, but then they kind of stopped doing that because people really didn't understand how to utilize that in certain ways.
Which is a bummer, because you can very much tell that Zelda Breath of the Wild, before they reframed it for Switch, and not saying that it turned out bad at all, but you can tell that that game would have been an impressive use of the second screen with the whole slate and everything. You know, that it's very clear that was designed with the Wii U setup in mind. And after all, the game did come out on the Wii U, but I don't think it didn't really end up using the feature the same way that it was probably originally designed.
Yeah.
So it's kind of just a bummer that the Wii U didn't really find its rhythm until it was too late. And the third party's lack of support. Really,
but even like the stuff with like 1-2-Switch, like, oh, we're changing the way that you play games and stuff, and they do that a little bit with like Labo, but like, I praised Labo a little bit after I purchased a couple of them, but I'm kind of taking that back because it's exactly what I thought it would be. It's something that I buy, I build it, and then I have all this crap that's sitting there that I never use, and it takes up a ton of space.
I have been successful in that regard with Labo. I was very tempted by the VR one, though, I gotta say. But
it's...
once I heard that like the Zelda and the Mario stuff kind of ended up being... like, I was, yeah, I was
it's
completely
just,
okay with my decision.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
just not worth it. It's a neat prototype for something, but it's not, like, something that I would want to play on a regular basis. And, like, occasionally we'll bring out the robot thing, but it's such a pain in the ass to get it working. And then just, like, even the VR stuff, it's just all over the place. I managed to shove some of it in, like, a drawer, but, like, it's still all over the goddamn place because it's so big. And they have, like, there is a section in that Labo where it's like, here's how you can store your stuff a little bit better. But it doesn't make it that much smaller because I did all that stuff and it's like, okay, this is really huge. I don't know. Maybe with just, like, that gun one, the $30 one that you can get with the goggles and the gun. Those are pretty much the more fun of the little mini games out there. So, mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe stick with that one.
Some other little specs we should mention about the Switch Lite. The Nintendo Switch Lite battery power is supposed to last between 3 to 7 hours. That is about 30 minutes longer than the regular Switch, but I don't think that's...
whoopity like, shit.
I mean, it's a smaller screen, right? So whatever. It is a portable-only system, which I think we've stressed enough here. The screen is 5.5 inches as opposed to 6.2 inches in the original. So you're losing, you know, about 3/4 of an inch there if size is big for you. And then the resolution, they say, is still 720p, just like the predecessor. But they are saying because it's a smaller screen, it's going to look a little better because, you know, it's a smaller screen. So whatever. Then you can get into some other specs as well. Like the D-pad is going to be a little different. I got to say the D-pad does look kind of nice, though. Look, I like the D-pad better than like the little button thing.
I fully anticipate someone taking that system and turning it into like a DS-type clamshell thing, modding the crap out to make it even smaller.
Yeah. But anyway, it's very obvious that this is timed for Pokemon, and that's very intentional, is that there are going to be, despite all the controversy around the national decks and all that stuff, like, I think the reality is, you know, kids and the biggest population of Pokemon players out there, maybe not the most vocal, but the biggest population of Pokemon players out there, are going to turn a blind eye to the national decks thing. I think most
people...
Well,
they even have a special Pokemon edition that's coming up for them. Yeah.
And I think most people, even if they are upset about the national decks thing, I kind of think they're going to still get it anyway. I don't think that's really going to stop people from buying the new Pokemon game. I mean, maybe in a few extreme circumstances, but I just think that game, you know, is still going to be selling. And, you know, again, this is a great way for if you have a kid or even a parent or somebody that's just been, you know, waiting for that game that they got to get the system for, then this is it. But one more thing I want to add here before we move on about the whole like death of the 3DS. To be honest, you know, again, as frustrating as that is, you kind of should have seen it coming when they moved the Pokemon games to the Switch. That should have been your first indicator that the 3DS was, you know, tick tock, right? So, but it's had, I mean, the 3DS has an amazing run. I mean, honestly, probably best portable system ever that I can think of off the top of my head. I mean, you know, some could argue about some of the more like retro consoles and, you know, especially like the original Game Boy and what Tetris did for that and everything. But I think just the long life of the 3DS, the vast library of what most 3DSs can play between the regular 3DS games, the DS games. Can they play advanced games? No, the original DS before they went
through. They can on the virtual console.
Play. Oh, yeah, they can on the virtual console. So there's still, you know, there's just such a rich library and things that, you know, I think the 3DS will definitely
It's so amazing that a tiny little system like the 3DS can handle Super Nintendo games, and yet this new console, the brand new console like the Switch Lite, cannot fucking handle Super Nintendo games. Mm-hmm. Because that's why I assume it's not there yet, and not because of some other greedy shit that they're doing to try to get people to pay for their online service or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that's why.
Now, you know, and depending, I'm looking at some of the comments in chat. DJ Rama S saying, I'll wait for my Switch Pro. And, you know, certainly depending on what kind of gamer you are, like, I get that. Like, you know, if you kind of know that there's a Switch Pro on the horizon, then, you know, maybe you're kind of waiting for that. So, because I admit, it is going to be a little bit frustrating to know that I'm probably going to end up buying that Switch Pro when I already dropped the money on the Switch. But, I mean, I guess I've gotten a few good years out of the Switch at this point. The Switch has been out for a good year and a half at this point now, right?
A Raspberry Pi Zero, which is a $19 system, can play Super Nintendo games.
Let it go.
And yet.
Let's see. S200 Matt says, I'm also looking to upgrade to the Pro when those specs come out. Going back to the National Dex issue, Sia Tabiri says, one YouTuber I follow actually called for his followers to skip Sword and Shield over the whole National Dex thing and for the fact that the Dynamax thing is just a limited gimmick or whatever. I make that guy show his bank account record because I bet he buys it anyway. Like, sorry, not so. I've just, like, I... Again, like, I'm not really, like, trying to take sides in that whole thing. Like, I understand why people are, like, mad about it. Don't get me wrong. But I really feel like when it comes to push or shove or whatever, like, people are still going to buy the game. You know what I mean? I think we all know the inevitable conclusion to this is that in a future Pokemon game, this will be remedied. So, it is what it is. Let's see. YYR says, I wouldn't expect much from a Switch Pro. I mean, I wouldn't expect it to enhance existing games a la Xbox One. I would expect it to improve new games that were designed for it, like new 3DS. I just hope, unlike new 3DS, they don't start to split the market, because I think that will be very bad. Now, we just said there weren't a lot of games for new 3DS, so specifically for new 3DS. What? There was the Final Fantasy game and maybe like one or two others, right? Or not the Final Fantasy game, the Xenoblade game. And like one or two others. So
I think what was it? The Hyrule Warriors play better on the new 3DS.
Yeah, I think there was that. And then Smash Brothers was definitely better, but it still played on the old 3DS. So I don't know.
Anyway. I'm sure we could look it up. It was a really small number of games. Also, just like the very small number of games that were on the actually, it was the 3D. What was the one that they had? Yeah, it was the 3DS where it had like the use the second analog stick. Or remember how they like. On the older 3DSs, it didn't have, like, the new, the second nub that they have on there. They had that solution that you would buy this giant thing that would attach to your 3DS to give you the second analog stick and stuff like that. There was only, like, a handful of games that used that, too. So
before we move to the next topic, let's quickly poll everybody in here. Are you going to get a Switch Lite, yes or no? So I think I'm hearing you're a yes, right, Jamie?
I want to.
You want to? For Animal Crossing and such. Makes sense.
Yeah, so I can have that on the go. I mean, sense. I don't know if it'll happen because, I mean, I do have a Switch that I didn't pay for. But we'll see.
Okay. I'm going to say no, but it's one of those, not for me, but I think it's cool it exists and I think they're really good looking, but I can't really justify it for me when I have the regular Switch already. Loki?
Probably not because I already have a Switch and most of my games are digital and Nintendo's not good about swapping that stuff around between systems. Plus, all of my saves are on one system. So, like, say if we wanted to get some for the kids so that I can actually use my Switch.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, I'm surprised that the boys getting older isn't kind of weighing yet. But maybe they just got
2DSs last year. Yeah, so, they have a Switch. They don't play it very often anyways. Well, actually, no. I take it back. They were playing something. No, my son was playing Animal Crossing on 3DS earlier this week. He was... in my wife's town, digging a bunch of holes. He dug so many holes in that town. And then he got stuck on an island, and he didn't know how to get off the island. So, but
when the new one comes out, you're going to need to teach him how to visit Dark Sakura's town. Dig all the holes.
Not invited.
I imagine, and I seem to remember the last one that was online, you couldn't do that type of stuff if you were visiting other towns. Like, they put blocks in there so that you couldn't, like, screw up someone else's town that bad.
Yeah, well, I'll definitely get it, but, like, I don't know. We'll see.
All right. Well, let's move on. Let's talk about, we know what Loki's kids have been playing, but how about the hosts, and how about you guys in our chat room at twitch.tv/VogNetwork? How was your gaming week? Dark Sakura, what kind of games have you been playing this week?
I really buckled down with a lot of my pins lately, just playing some pinball. I'm trying to get myself actually back into Twilight Zone because I'm really out of practice with it. But I've also been playing Animal Crossing Pocket Camp. I've been playing Idle Pouring. I've been playing Pokemon Go. I've been playing the Harry Potter stupid game. I don't know, just not a whole lot. Dan and I are still talking about what if eventually we start, we're going to start streaming together with. And it's sort of leaning toward the Super Famicom Sega Densetsu 3 with one of the translated ROMs I have. So we'll see.
All right. Moving on to Loki. How was your gaming week?
It was pretty good. I played a little bit of Shakedown Miami. Shakedown Hawaii. I keep confusing that with Hotline Miami.
Hotline Miami, yeah.
Yes. Shakedown Hawaii. And I played a little bit of that because they had the new update that came out. So I was checking that out. And then what else? Mainly just a little bit of Pokemon Go. And I worked on my game a little bit. I was building a thing for the camera. A camera controller type thing. And then what else? Yeah, that's about it.
I just realized there's a typo in the little what's coming up next thing on Twitch. Because for those that haven't seen the Twitch feed, you're only listening on the podcast, we have a little like you might see on CNN or something, a little like ticker, like what's coming up next. I just realized it says, how was you gaming week? left an R off, my bad.
How was you gaming week?
How was you? How was you this week? Sorry about that. Sorry if your grammar is like shaking right now. My bad.
Not to pay attention to it.
My bad. It was an innocent mistake. I know how it's really said. All right. Anyway,
just be glad I didn't notice it.
You should just do it all in Comic Sans one day.
No.
Here's what I have to say about that. If you don't like it, you are welcome to do it for future weeks. But when I get stuck doing it, then you got to love me and my mistakes.
I do want to, like, make some stuff, and I just haven't gotten a chance to.
There's a lot of people in chat that are like, I noticed, but there's others that were like, I was just being polite. Or
I also want to get a giant neon sign to go right here, but I don't know if it'll show up on camera.
Yeah, the light will do funky things to that. I don't know. So anyway, Spyro Jonathan says, I literally just died laughing. I only just noticed. Yeah, obviously, I just noticed too, but I usually sit here and read what's on the TV, but that one jumped out at me. Anyway, all right. So my gaming week, how was my gaming week? So I'm still doing the Survivor LARP. That is still going. And I believe it or not, you guys, I'm still in it. Can you believe it?
You're in it to win it.
They ain't voted you off yet, huh?
They have not voted me off yet. And we're down... it started with 22 people, and I think the girl that left last night was 16th. So we got 15 people. I think if I did my math, we either have 16 people left now. No, we have 15 people left now. I can't even math. So seven people have left, and the point is I haven't been one of them. So small victories, I guess, in that regard. But the people have been really great, I got to say. Like, just the various people I've been meeting from all over has been really cool. And that's, like, that's the whole reason to play this stuff. Otherwise, I can't talk much more about it because, you know, strategery and all that stuff. Because the other tribe might know that I do this thing. I don't know. So I can't talk a lot about, like, what's really going on. But, you know, I will talk all about it once it's done. I would actually love to have some of the other people that were in it, like, come on the show and, like, talk about it, because I think it would be really funny. I don't know. I think it's these highly immersive games are really freaking interesting to me. Anyway, but in the video game world, I have been still able – luckily, the it's not, like, as much time playing that as I was, like, the first week it was going on. So I have been able to play some other video games. Most of my time, admittedly, has been on Final Fantasy XIV Shadowbringers, just because it's an MMO and there's a lot to explore. And I've got easily sunk in the dozens of hours already, and I'm not even, like, halfway through. But the story is really good, and I'm having a really good time with it. And I don't know if you guys know this, but if you go, you know, I don't know if you guys put a lot of stock in things like Metacritic and what have you, and the things that, like, kind of assess what all the ratings across the internet are saying. But Final Fantasy Shadowbringers right now is one of the best-reviewed games of the year, if you can believe it, which you don't always see for an MMO. So that's kind of interesting, but I think it also speaks to just, like, how, like, good the story is and the graphics and the character design and the sound and all that. So it's turning a lot of heads, and now people are getting interested in Final Fantasy XIV who may have not, like, noticed before, or, you know, especially when it comes to the monthly fee, which I know still puts a lot of people off. I think people are really into it.
That's why I don't play it.
One thing, though, let me make this clear. I love 14 in its current state. I think it's a fantastic game. I do have to point out something, though, I think is a little troubling, because I think something is being misrepresented by the media, and it's very important by gaming media. And I think it's very important about this game, because one thing that I think got a lot of people interested in this expansion was, if you do these end game dungeons, you don't have to do them yourself. You have a party of like trust people that you can bring with you, and you can do these dungeons with your trust parties. And that is all still true. That part like is not like different, and that is really changing the game for some people. Here's the problem, though. People are reporting on that, and everybody's going, yay, I don't really have to play with other people. I can do these dungeons on my own. And while that is true, what they're not saying is that there are still primal battles, the eight people fights that are a part of the story. For instance, there is one it's not a spoiler to say, because they've talked about that this primal is in the game. Titania, who's been in Final Fantasy lore before, is the first big primal fight that you do at around level 74, about four levels in, maybe 73 or 74, four levels in. You can't do that fight with trusts. You have to do it with other players. And where I've got to say yikes a little bit on the expansion, everybody getting excited, it's not an easy fight. It took us several tries to get through that fight with like people I know and all that. Now, will they do things later on to lessen the blow of that? Yes, they will introduce the echo thing where the more you die on it, the more powerful you get, so that it helps you to clear it. But it's not in there right now. Although they are doing a mini patch on Monday, so I wouldn't be surprised if they're like, I'm saying this now, and like by the time a lot of you hear it, some of this is already going to be addressed. The difficulty of that fight is that they're going to put in the echo, and they're going to probably like reduce some of the health of the ads and things like that. But I think it's an important thing to point out, because I would not want people to buy this thinking, oh, I don't have to worry about the anxiety or the pressure that comes with playing with other people, or, you know, getting called bad by other people and all this stuff. And I understand those are all legit concerns. Like, you don't want to feel responsible for wasting other people's time in a dungeon. I get that. So I think it's fair to warn people, whereas, yes, Final Fantasy is moving in that direction of being a multiplayer experience, but one that you can still do yourself. You cannot get through the entire story without other people, as is being represented right now in a lot of the reviews. A lot of the reviews, I don't think, played to the Titania fight to find out, oh, whoops, you do have to play some of this with other people. So I wanted to call that out. I bet that's something that the developers will address later on at some point, I think. So anyway, Fifth Dream in chat says, even when I had the people in the friendly guild who helped me, I still felt that anxiety of not doing well, so I kind of stopped playing. And some people in chat are saying, shit, I didn't know that. I wanted to do the main story quest alone. Boo, I would have resubbed. Yeah, and I'm sorry, because I think Final Fantasy XIV is a great game, and I do want to share it with a lot of people, but I think you have a right to know. You will not get through the story without playing with other people. It's only a couple of times, very short, but it I have to say it. It is not accurately being represented in some of the early previews and stuff like that that are focusing on the trust thing, which is great, and it's a huge step forward of getting there.
It's the typical gamer media mentality where it's like, oh, they only played it for a little bit.
Or so one person reported on that element of it, so everybody reported their whole story on just that element without considering the bigger picture.
Yeah.
But I also don't want to shit on Shadowbringers either, because it's a fucking fantastic expansion. And I'm like, if you're going to play any MMO, you need to play Final Fantasy XIV. It is the creme de la creme right now. It's amazing. And I'm not talking shit on WoW by any means. I think WoW's
I just wish I had
too,
time for it. That's the issue. It's no, like, if I had that much time, like say someday when I'm retired and don't have to work and have all this time for gaming and stuff, then yes, an MMO would be right for me. Mm-hmm. But right now I have hardly enough time for the games I have in my library, let alone time for an MMO.
But I will say this much. One more thing I want to say about Final Fantasy, then I'll move on to the games. I'm only halfway through the story, so I can't really comment on this expansion story as a whole. But I'm hearing it gets even better in the final half, and that apparently some big shit goes down and stuff. And most of my friends that have played through it are like, this is the best that it gets. This may very well be the best Final Fantasy story that has ever been told. And that is like that. And especially if you look at the critic scores and everything else out there, this is a distinct reality that we may be living in a time and a place where the best Final Fantasy story is in their MMO. So kind of interesting. But I, I, I've said on prior shows, I kind of think Heaven's Word and Stormblood also had fantastic stories that most people missed out on. So I hope I don't know what they can do to help more people experience this story. You know, I think the trust system is kind of getting there. I think, you know, they took a big step with that with this expansion, and I expect that'll be refined in some of the later patches. So maybe in 6 more months, people will be able to experience it more in single player, and then, you know. And I know it's so interesting, isn't it? It's a massively multiplayer game, but people want to play it single player. But I kind of get it. Like, you know, sometimes other people are fucking mean, but you want to be able to say hi to your friends and go visit your friends' houses and see your friends' outfits and things like that. But you still kind of want to, like, do your own thing. Like, I kind of get it. Mm-hmm. I do. So, anyway. All right. Bobby in chat says, I wanted to experience this great single-player story. I soloed the story for Star Wars The Old Republic. So that's that is – and, you know, I've heard that's another – and what little I did play of that game was pretty fun as well. So that's one of those games I need to go back to one of these days. That's back in BioWare's, you know, heyday, I suppose. So anyway, other games I played this week, because there are a couple others. I also played oh, no, I forget the name of it. The racing game they were giving away for free on PlayStation Plus this month.
I don't remember what it's called, but yes.
Hyper Turbo. So I played that for a little bit. It's a fun little arcade racer. My only little thing with it is that with the polygons and the way the graphics look, it kind of looks like a PlayStation 2 game that was kind of up-resed for PlayStation 4. But I think it's super indie. And it is fun to play. At the end of the day, it's fun to play. But the graphics are a little basic for a racing game, in my opinion. But it's fast, and it's you know, fun to control and so forth. So, yeah, there's that. Thank you, Dark Tetsuya. I knew somebody would know it. Horizon Chase Turbo. That's the name of it. Thank you, thank you. Bobby Blackwolf says the graphics are basic. Yeah, I mean, I've played a lot of racing games that are amazing graphics, like Forza, hello, Gran Turismo, F-Zero, hell. But the ones in this game are kind of like it looks like I'm playing Outrun, which, you know, it's an Outrun's not a bad game, it's just a dated game at this point. All right, anyway, so that's about it for my gaming week. I think that's everything I'll mention, so we'll move on. A quick housekeeping note: we are live on Twitch tonight, of course, as we are every Sunday night, and Twitch has a little special promotion going on right now because Twitch belongs to Amazon and Amazon's got their big Prime Day coming up, right?
Uh-huh.
So right now, and it's only tonight during Sunday's show, if you are kind enough to donate biddies to the show, which we use your biddies to like get things like new mics, the flyers that Bobby was just able to hand out at this weekend's Southern Fried Game Room Expo, or excuse me, Gaming Expo. I always get the names mixed up. The flyers that were handed out were designed by Dark Sakura and were paid for by your biddy donations and subscription stuff. So thank you very much. So thank you, thank you, thank you for everybody that helps that happen, because that helps us get the word out for not just our own shows, but the other great shows on this network. Girls Gone Wow, you've probably seen, is also streaming Sunday during the day. That's been great. Anime Jam Session, of course, on Tuesday, and more and more and more. So anyway, you do need to specifically use the bleed purple emote during your bit donation, but Twitch will do an extra 10% tonight only. So if you donate 100 biddies, you'll actually be donating 110 because Twitch will add 10% to the pot. But you have to use that bleed purple emote. I believe right now if you click on the bits icon, it'll show more detail on that right now.
Please do it.
Yeah. And
because I said so.
Well, I don't want to beg for money, but I will say that it's appreciated.
We're not begging.
And it goes to good use.
We're just telling y'all what to do.
Yeah. And of course,
do the thing.
If you are a Prime person, you get a free monthly subscription because you're paying for it with Prime that you can use on one Twitch channel every month. And if you decide to use it here at the Voice Geeks Network or VOG Network, you get access to the complete video archive. So you can access all the old shows on video and watch them that way if you desire. But of course, the audio, as it has been for 17 years, will still be free. That's not something we're going to be charging for. So we want you to still be able to enjoy what you've always enjoyed. We wanted to add something new for the paywall or whatever you want to say, not take anything away. Very important. Anyway, SG100 Matt says, give them money for pizza or cookies or other important things. I think it's safe to say we have not spent your money on food. It definitely goes back into the show. Hopefully some exciting stuff coming up at Dragon Con too. We'll have to kind of look at the finances, but we might be able to have another thing that we give away in person. I know in years past we had the little hacky sacks. The lanyards were a big thing last year. So maybe we'll have something new for this year. I don't want to promise, but it's not outside the realm of possibility. It's going to be a fun year. All right. Anyway, YYR in chat says, I'd totally do it, but would it look like I'm paying for advertising? You guys do endorse my games quite a bit. I don't think so, because we already endorse them without any agreement of any sort. Just,
you know, you were looking for,
we're fans of you.
You were looking for content for the break, and I did manage to catch one of YYR's, excuse me, like all that pizza. Anyways, I did catch one of his retrospectives that he did.
See, these are things that you should tell me before we're live, because now I can't just throw it in there. But yeah, that would have been a great retrospective.
Because he did one for bungee ferret tossing.
Oh, so that would have been fun. Well, when the new one comes out, because he's talked about the one on PC, I will do a little thing of that.
Yeah.
We'll put it during the break. And he doesn't have to give us a dime. We would do that just because we love the fact that somebody actually made a game out of a silly idea on this show. So,
for the record, I'm also going to say, since people brought up food earlier, I did bring cookies that I baked myself. And they are rose chocolate and craisin cookies. So,
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, I'm sorry, not Bobby Blackwolf. Other people in chat are saying, we need Smush to do something special. We need a Smush emote. Bobby says the Smush emote is for the Discord. The thing is, we would have to get an, so like Smush doesn't photograph well because he's a black cat. So we would have to commission the artwork to be done, which I'm willing to do. And have that done. You're going to draw Mr. Smush?
I could try. It's been a while. I've got enough references. I just sent you a picture of his sleepy ass.
Well, even if you decide you don't want to do it, I'm sure we could commission somebody to do it for $20 or even, you know, $40 to do a small little emote of Mr. Smush. And maybe that's something we could put for a higher tier sub, or when we unlock more sub slots. We may have one right now. I don't remember, but that might be something. I don't want to promise anything yet because we have to reach an agreement with Bobby Blackwolf on any of those types of decisions. But I think if you guys really want it, I'm sure we can make it happen. All right. Anyway, and thank you, SSJ100 Matt, who says, you've given me and plenty of us years of entertainment. The few bits we throw is the least we can do. Super appreciate that. I wish you could still get the bits from watching ads, because
you can.
Oh, you can't on desktop too?
Yeah, I have an ad blocker, so it.
Oh.
But it says I can watch one for five.
Oh, good. I'm glad those are back. Yeah, I mean, yeah, watching just a handful of ads and then throwing those bits this way, or whoever, like, support. If you don't feel like you want to give us biddies, that's, I'm not going to be upset. Go support some other streamer that does this out of, you know, the goodness of their heart and so forth. Watch a few ads. A little bit goes a long way, and it adds up. Trust me. Even if you're only donating like 10 biddies to somebody, it's still just that, ooh, senpai noticed me. Like, it's just a nice thing to be noticed by your viewers. Okay, and then I think the mobile will let you watch ads too. That's always been there. All right, anyway, enough of that. Enough self-promotion about Twitch promotions. Let's get into some other gaming news. Let's make some more of those moments you guys like to be here for. With one that maybe will start a Loki rant. Let's see, Loki. It's a Nintendo story, and it's one that kind of, I don't know, Loki.
It's a feature that they've made, so good for them. So if you're looking for more excitement in your Nintendo Online collection, well, you can at least be able to play now with rewind features that they have in NES games. So, for example, if you hold these ZL and ZR buttons, you're able to scroll back in a timeline of snapshots of your gameplay and pick anywhere you want to resume from. So that's kind of cool. And apparently that's going to be added to the Switch Online NES app starting July 17th, which is the same day they're going to be adding some new games. Donkey Kong Country, or Donkey Kong 3, and Wrecking Crew.
Yeah, Wrecking Crew is the other. And so,
no Rob the Robot, though, so that kind of sucks.
Wrecking Crew wasn't a Rob the Robot game.
I thought it was.
No, Gyromite.
Oh, I'm thinking Gyromite.
And Stack'em were the
You're Rob right, the Robot I'm thinking.
Games. Wrecking Crew was also...
Had a level editor.
It did have a level editor, and it would it was referenced later on in Smash Brothers. I think a lot of people know the Wrecking Crew level in Smash Brothers that kind of plays like the old Wrecking Crew game, actually. So Wrecking Crew is a nice historical choice, I guess, but I kind of think it's one of those games you play once, then you're like, all right, I played it. That's it. You know, you don't really play it a lot.
Yeah.
Donkey Kong 3, like, I think that game is neat because it's
weird.
It's so different. It's weird. Like, suddenly, like, you play this character that doesn't exist anywhere else in Nintendo's timeline. You play that little Pete, the pesticide or whatever. And Donkey Kong 3 is more like a shooter than it is a platformer. That's what made it so weird, right? Because you're shooting the bug spray up Donkey Kong's ass. That's what you're doing. Look at the game. To scare him out of the greenhouse or whatever. So it's just weird because that game is more like a shooter. And so it kind of got lost amongst Nintendo's sort of history. But the reality is, when it comes to these NES releases, like, if that's what we're getting this month, I'm sorry, but they're starting to scrape bottom of the barrel.
Which is weird because they have a huge library of games out there.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand why we can't just, like, throw some money. Or, like, I don't even know. Like, it's just... I really wish they just sold these games online because then we'd have more of a library to choose from.
Yeah.
You could have, like, you get these free, but if you want additional games, you can purchase them. And they go into that.
In a way, like, I think what's happened now is that you have these publishers that are re-releasing their NES things as part of these collections. Like, look at what Konami's doing with Castlevania Collection and
Contra
Collection.
Because they're forced to do that because they don't have any other options. That's why when there was these Capcom collections way back on, like, the PlayStation stuff, they didn't have that on the Nintendo Wii, I think, at that point, because they had Virtual Console stuff. So it didn't make any sense to release that on there because you could just purchase them separately.
Orange Rye in chat says, how many first-party games are still holding out, though? And I think that's an excellent call-out. Not a lot. There's not a lot of first-party games that aren't on this service at this point. It's the third-party games where they...
Well, they have, like, some really, like, bottom-of-the-barrel stuff, like pinball.
Yeah, but we would be reading them just as hard if those were the types of things that they were releasing at this point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think a lot of us... more than recognize it's time for Super Nintendo. It's time for,
like,
more.
I don't understand why we can't get third-party stuff in there, because we have some Konami games, I think, in there.
We,
like,
do.
So, I mean...
Something is clearly stopping them, because,
like,
we
I saw a list of, like, some stuff that, like, they were, like, wishing, like, they would have on the service, and, like, one of them that was mentioned was Maniac Mansion, which would be amazing. But
well,
I get...
you know, I would fucking flip if they could get the Guardian Legend. But the problem is, you know, the rights to the Guardian Legend are so muddled at this point, as well as some of these other, you know, old school 8-bit games. I'm not surprised that they're just kind of not there.
Yeah.
But I think it is definitely time to start thinking about other systems, namely the Super Nintendo. And if they can swing it, why not Genesis? I mean, I guess Sega's got their own thing going on with their mini system. But at some point, why not include, like, the Nintendo Wii had? Some limited arcade stuff, although then you got Arcade Archives is also screwing that whole thing up, right? Like, why would...
It's just not planned out very well.
Yeah, I don't think they planned it out very well. I really don't. I think Nintendo is going to be cornered that they're going to have to do Super Nintendo. They really don't have any other choice. So I think that's coming. If it doesn't come by holiday, I think then we have to get really concerned. I think we're going to have a couple more rough months. And then, like, Super Nintendo is going to probably have to happen. But we'll see. I don't know. So, as far as the rewind and fast forward thing, I mean, cool, I guess. Like, you know, especially in maybe some of the more difficult games, like Ghosts and Goblins and some of the ones that, you know, are really easy to die over and over in.
Or like,
it would be nice to have that.
Mario 3, you go to the Toad House and you're like, I didn't get what I wanted. Back it up. Oh, do it again.
You sure could. So how's that going to work if you're playing online? Maybe that's disabled if you play online
probably.
With somebody else. Yeah. And I think maybe that's another place where this has felt very disappointing, is that even though, you know, they have this whole, like, online setup where you can play with other people, it doesn't feel like there's a lot of games that are worth playing online with other people. Like, it's still a lot of, like, single player heavy experiences. And look, Donkey Kong 3, it's not one you can really play online. Wrecking Crew, I don't even remember if that's a two player simultaneous game. If it is, it's not going to be fun for long. So I feel like if they could just open up Super Nintendo, we could get some more stuff that, you know, especially when you get into things like Super Mario Kart, the original, and things that would be a lot of fun to play online.
Yeah.
We'll see. Anyway, let's, YYR in chat says, if you're going to rewind the Toad House, I wonder if you have to do it before you enter.
No.
Well, it depends which house. Like, if you're going to do the flip card, you might have to do it before you enter. But I think you're thinking the slot machine, right?
Or, yeah. I mean, I don't think it necessarily matters because you look at – you can see in the screenshots where you're at. Like, it, you can back it up. I think it's every few seconds. So you probably could do it in a way where you can manipulate that. True. I'm sure they don't care.
All right.
Game Genie. Support the Game Genie.
That would be kind of... Oh, Nintendo always hated that thing, though.
I don't fucking care
All right.
what they like or don't like.
Moving on. I know what I like, and that is AR games, because you know I love to play some Ingress, as well as Harry Potter, Wizards Unite, Pokemon Go. I've kind of... You know, there was a big Entei thing tonight, and I couldn't even do it because of the show, and the Community Day is next week during the show. It's...
I was right by one of those really armored Mewtwo's, and I looked at it, and I'm like, man, that looks dumb.
I'm getting really it's just, like, making me not want to play anymore. Like, I'm missing out on so much stuff that I'm just kind of like, I can just let this go for a while until maybe they introduce Gen 5 or something. Because I'm kind of into the Harry Potter Wizards Unite because Alan got into it. And, like, he was kind of fizzling out on Pokemon Go as well. But, like, playing Wizards Unite gives us something both to do. And what's nice about Wizards Unite is that you don't have to wait for raids to spawn. You go find a fortress and you can do it at the same time with your friend and, like, you know, play whenever you want. You don't have to wait for something to spawn. So, like, the way they did that, I think the battling in Wizards Unite is way more interesting than it is in Pokemon Go. And that's where that game really starts to shine. So, anyway, like five people, like, we were doing five-player fortresses the other day with some of my Ingress buddies. It was a lot of fun. Like, and you're just having to constantly communicate. I'm strong to the level 27. I'm going to take the 27. Can somebody put a shield on me? Can somebody heal? Drop a potion? You're, like, constantly communicating while you're, like, fighting on your phone and drawing all the traces. Mm-hmm. It's pretty awesome. So, anyway, I can't wait for Dragon Con to be able to play some Bobby, find out if there's a fortress down at Dragon Con. There's got to be. Of course, there's a fortress down there somewhere. Anyway, but since I love AR games, I'm going to have to give this one a shot, too. This isn't Niantic, but I still think it's going to be really neat. It's Minecraft Earth. Minecraft Earth is soon to be on the way. It will be launching on iOS in the next 2 weeks, apparently, a beta release. So it's coming soon. The Android version will follow soon thereafter. So, you know, and it's not totally uncommon that it hits one platform before the other. I think that did happen with Pokemon Go. Ingress was Android only for like a year before it was out on iOS. Of course, Ingress was also a Google game. But anyway, I digress. So it will be out on iOS first, but it's not going to be a long wait. And they also showed a new trailer for Minecraft Earth. So it's interesting because you have like that overworld view that looks very Minecraft-like that has like pets and things you can tap on. But then it looks like there's another button you can do that will turn – and it shows these guys building like a snow cavern on top of a picnic table. And it looked really cool. And I'm like – if that is – what I also thought was fascinating about it was that, like, the guy's other phone was showing a little pickaxe and was showing the item that he was using. And I'm like, it can't – like, that has to be enhanced for a trailer. It can't look that good.
Didn't you watch the developers conference?
I didn't watch the whole thing, but
– when they announced the Minecraft Earth at the developers conference in Cupertino. Mm-hmm. Not in Cupertino. But when they did the talking about the AR stuff, they did like the whole demo of building, of standing in your building and everything.
Wow! If that really is what it ends up looking like, I'm gonna be blown away. I'm really excited to try this out. I just feel like it's one of those things where, like, in theory it's awesome, and then in practice it's kind of derpy. So we'll see how it works. But I know I signed up for that beta because I want to check this out.
Yeah,
I'm sure you did too, and I'm sure. Now that it's on Darksoccer's mind, she might think about signing up too. But yeah, I'm excited to try it out. And if you haven't seen the trailer yet, it's definitely worth looking at. If for as much as I've always kind of like been complaining, like if Microsoft bought Minecraft, why have they yet to put out a Minecraft 2? Where's Minecraft 2? Why is that not a logical progression of what happens to Minecraft? But now that I'm looking at this, I'm like, oh, maybe this is the logical progression of Minecraft.
This is why we don't have the ultra 4K
right
HDR texture pack.
And SSG100 Matt says, a Microsoft product coming to an Apple product first, the times that we live in. Well, Hey, you remember when Apple took on the Microsoft Office suite? And that was like, what a jaw-dropping moment that was when Apple agreed to do that. And it kind of changed both companies for the better. So, you know, you ally with the enemy when it makes good business sense. What had everybody talking just 3 weeks ago? Sony and Microsoft teaming up on the cloud technology thing. Does that mean The Last of Us 2 is going to be on Xbox? No. Halo is going to be on PS5? No. It just means that, you know, when it mutually benefits companies to work together, they're going to do it. So, yeah, it's kind of just fascinating. But I get it. It's a very it's very much like when you first played a Sonic game on a Nintendo console. It's very that. It is very that. Yes. Ooh, I like the way Questbuster puts that. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. And who's the person to beat in the AR space right now? Niantic, or maybe Google, if you will. I mean, because Niantic was a spinoff of Google.
It's so. Really the one to beat is definitely Garfield Go.
How's that? Well, some of these other, you know, not, I'm using my quoting finger, knockoff games have done fairly well for themselves, like the Jurassic Park game. I think it's okay. Like, I think it's got a fan base.
They ran out of dinosaurs, so they had to spin off into other animals.
The Walking Dead had one too that, yeah. I think has, you know, I don't think it's as big as Pokemon Go or the other, but it's got its fans, you know, and they kind of do their thing. So anyway, I am excited about Minecraft Earth. Please don't let me down. That's all I have to say. I also see the potential to get extremely let down. All right, moving on. Dark Sakura. I like this. You got kind of a different sort of topic for us tonight.
I've been trying to make that a theme lately, at least find something that shows the other side of gaming.
Well, especially in these slower news months, there's other things about gaming we can talk about, you know?
Well, there was a study that was published in the journal Dreaming that said that games that promote more activity, certain types of games, will lead you into being a more lucid dreamer. So basically, if you play an active role in your game, like a virtual, you know, like something, they specifically mentioned Kinect and on the Wii, that those games that require activity to play them, I guess, do something with your brain, but it makes you a little bit more of a lucid dreamer. And what lucid dreaming is basically it gives you the ability to dream and know you're dreaming, and to control your dreams in more, you know, in-depth, like the better of a lucid dreamer you are, the better you can control it. For the most part, I'm a lucid dreamer. I've always been since I was a kid. But it's come in handy if one has, you know, nightmares. They try to teach lucid dreaming techniques to, like, PTSD sufferers, you know, because nightmares kind of go hand in hand with PTSD. But they were finding, this is just preliminary evidence, that physically interactive games are more likely associated with lucid dreaming, but they're going to need more research, so they're actually starting to branch out with that study. It was a cross-sectional study, so it does not show any direct cause and effect, but they've had that correlation lined up, so we'll see. Hopefully they'll pursue a lot more with it. And they're saying basically the study shouldn't be taken as prescriptive, but that basis does show a direct correlation, and it can be used in therapy.
I gotta be honest, it's kind of a foreign concept to me because I am the opposite. I don't remember my dreams, and I haven't really tried to like look into this or thought much about it. But I think there is like a segment of the population that just doesn't like they don't dream.
It depends. Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm not going to say, like, never ever, because I do know that, like, there will be once in a great while. Like, I distinctly remember I must have been falling or something in a dream, because I remember waking up going, like, I just, like, hit the ground, and that's, like, when I woke up. But, like, that type of experience is, like, once every year, once every 6 months. It is not common. It is by far more common for me to wake up and that's it.
Usually by the time I figure out that I would be lucid dreaming is about the time that I lose it. It's like usually have control for about like a few seconds, or at least it feels like a few seconds, and it's too late. It's like, oh yeah, I'm dreaming. Oh, and I'm up.
I've always been able to control it. Like, it's only when I'm really like in a really bad mental state that it's like I know I'm dreaming and don't give a shit. I just want to see where it goes.
And it's more like I don't have the will to control it, although I still know I'm dreaming. Huh.
I don't think I'd want that. Like for me, like I don't know if I'd want that.
I don't know.
But it's my perceptions and your perceptions just based on.
I honestly don't know if it has something to do with being autistic as well, because our neurochemistry is different.
But I also feel, well, okay, yeah, maybe when you get into lucid dreaming, maybe. I mean, I don't know. But like, I feel like more people remember their dreams and talk about dreams, and there's dream journals and things like that, than people like me who have nothing to talk about.
Like also for me, I dream in color. And it's actually, it's almost 50-50, but there's a good portion of society that dreams in black and white, and I dream in color.
I've heard that.
Let me read you the last statement on this, and this comes from the authors of the study. We believe immersion in realistic, controllable virtual environments such as video games is a powerful psychological state that warrants a lot more study, particularly in its overlaps with the characteristics of dream states. And so basically, yeah, they're considering using this study to lead into more study to learn how to do dream therapy. So it's pretty cool. Video games lead into that.
Yeah, kind of neat. So if you want to be more in control of your dreams, you got to play more Beat Saber, right? or DDR or something.
Play DDR.
Right? Although it's in some, you know, YYR is in our chat room saying, my DDR days haven't ended, but I haven't noticed anything. And I don't think this is, like they say, it's not prescriptive. So it's still something that they're studying. But it is just neat that there could be a correlation there, right?
Right.
You know, it's just like we always would tell our parents. Video games help me because it improves my hand-eye coordination. You know, even though we all know that's a line, at the same time, it's also kind of true. Like, you know, it does help with some of your reaction times and things like that. It can improve those types of, like, you know, motor skills and things like that, too. So
I was doing a little bit of double checking, and they do say that people that people on the autism spectrum do have a little bit more experience in lucid dreaming.
Interesting.
44% out of the study said that they usually remember their dreams, and a good number say they are lucid dreamers.
Huh.
So, yep. Yay, neurochemistry.
Science. A little bit of science on this week's OLR.
See grown men sticking screwdrivers into things and adjusting them. So that was MST3K.
I like it. All right. Well, let's move on. We have some other stories going on around the gaming world. Loki.
G2A, you got to love them. Actually, no, you don't.
No, you don't.
You don't have to love them at all. They're scum. So G2A, if you're not aware, is a third-party key seller for various things. So for many, it's a haven for stolen keys. In fact, I believe last week there was developers coming out saying, hey, we would rather you pirate our game than actually purchase a key from G2A.
I remember that. That was pretty pretty damning.
And so G2A, of course, is saying they're going about it in a really strange way of trying to help their reputation by, and this, of course, is totally going to work out for
what
them.
What reputation?
They are trying to help their reputation by
what reputation?
But providing some completely unbiased articles about G2A. So, for example, they have sent requests to several different gaming outlets saying to the effect of, we have a written unbiased article about how selling stolen keys on gaming marketplaces is pretty much impossible, and we want you to publish it on your website without being marked as sponsored or marked as associated with G2A. It's a transparent and just review of the problem of the stolen keys reselling. Like, I'm sorry, that's pretty fucking shady right there. Like, yes, of course it's going to be unbiased coming from the site that it's criticizing. Right, yeah. So it just goes to show you they suck, and they're just going to continue to suck.
I guess I can probably talk about this. Bobby's even saying we did not get this request at Vogue, frown face. But we do, Bobby, you know this. We get these random emails in the contact us thing all the time that's like, we have an article we'd like to publish about such and such and such. And Bobby and I just pretty much send those directly to the trash because we're just not interested. Like, you know, we would rather just not make money or just rely on the generosity of those of you participating on Twitch and podcasts and stuff. Because, like, I don't want that trash on our site. But it does go to show that some sites you visit may not have those same type of standards. Now, of course, you're supposed to print some big, you know, promotional piece or something like that. But there's a lot of, like, even on sites like CNN and sites, you know, and all of them, not just, you know, however you feel about lefty news or righty news, MSNBC, Fox News, you name it, all the same. You go on their website and you scroll down to the bottom and it's also like additional articles suggested by Traffic Brain or something like that. And they're all these like garbage articles that are oftentimes promotional spots. It'll be things like, because it's the same stuff that I hear on, it's the same people that I will hear advertising on podcasts, like why Bleep Mattress Company provides the best sleep at night or something like that, or how you can get a bunch of good night's sleep on a Bleep mattress or something like that, or, you know, Bleep new underwear has this fantastic design that you have to
I would do that, but I'd do it in a total monotone. This mattress really helped my back problems. I sound like, what's his name? Stein. Why can't I think of his first name? Ben Stein. Wow.
YYR in chat says, and all of these recommended articles will have these young, attractive people pictured as a way of attracting clicks. Or it's the opposite. You'll see some like horrendous looking like person just that's been
bust out a bridge troll
or something. And it says, you won't believe what these child stars look like now.
And I think like, they should just like bust out a bridge troll to read it.
Yeah. Anyway. So we all know there's a lot of garbage on the internet. Y'all are educated enough to know that and have been.
And the best ones are those articles are all like slideshows or whatever. So like every single page is only going to have like one person on it. And you have to keep clicking through and they have ads in between everything. And then ads on the other pages.
Yeah. Let me ask.
Okay, so Nifty says I should do it in a Miss Vanjie voice, but my voice does not get that hard.
Bam. You want to know what those child celebrities look like now?
Bam.
Bam.
Yeah.
All right, Emeril.
No, that.
Number 10 could get these cookies. All right, anyway.
Speaking of cookies, my cookies are amazing. You should have one.
Anyway.
I'd like to say real quick. Yeah. So G2A, of course, responded to this accusation.
Oh, of course they
did. These emails were sent by our employee without authorization, for which we apologize to the outlets that he sent the proposal to. He will face strict consequences, as this is an absolutely unacceptable. Sure, you will.
Mm-hmm.
Metal Mayhem in chat says, not to sound like I'm self-promoting, but I'm the same way. When I post in the One Steam group, I don't post about deals and freebies on shady sites. I don't think you're self-promoting. I mean, if we know a good free game deal going on, we usually update you guys on the PlayStation Plus and Xbox stuff. Like, you know, the legit stuff, yeah, we want people to know.
Humble Bundle's got a indie PlayStation key sale.
I didn't realize that the Epic Game Store went to weekly releases for free games as opposed to every other week, and now I've missed two games. So I wish I'd had that memo, you know what I mean? So, like, you know, you've got to grab things before you lose them. But, yeah, I wouldn't want to trust, like, shady websites
either. You cannot look and save your money.
But if they're free.
Or you can save your time.
Yes, I could save my time, but, you know, look at the other ways I choose to spend my time, Dark Sakura. We already talked about the subjecting myself to the intensity and mental trauma of playing Survivor without a $1 million prize. So look at my life. Look at my choices. Anyway. What else did I want to mention in our chat? Let's see. I think people are just like making fun of other articles. Questbuster says, I do have the Epic Game Launcher, but just for this free Slime Rancher. I did want to ask about this. And this is kind of like going out of like left field, but I think it's important. When we talk about these types of like clickbait articles and things like that, is that something they teach kids about now? And I guess I'm looking at you because you've got the kid. They don't teach kids about how to tell what is a spam garbage email versus a legit email.
Maybe they do in like later on in like certain technology classes and stuff like that.
A little young for that.
They don't do that now. Let's see. What was my son learning about today? Thanks to YouTube. Oh, gold diggers. He was learning about gold diggers because apparently some stupid YouTuber that he was watching was talking about some gold diggers club in Roblox and how this woman was a gold digger. And I was like, what the fuck are you listening to? I mean, like,
I ain't saying she's a gold digger.
I hope you asked it just like that too.
No, I'm like, what are you listening to? And then he got embarrassed.
Okay, Run Jump Stop actually answers my question in chat. When in doubt, if nobody here knows it, usually somebody in chat knows it. Thank you. Run Jump Stop says they do in high school history classes at the school I teach at, so it's like a high school level type of thing. well, that's probably for the best, you know, because I was like, how do people start to learn to distinguish, like, what's a commercial versus what's spam and what's real and stuff, you know? Anyway, it's just an interesting part about living in the year 2019 in our very tapped-in online world. Sia Tabiri says, information literacy was an important point they pushed back when I was in library school. Interesting. So, and YYR says, I was just thinking about this. We have a 14-year-old intern in my IT department now, and he said they don't currently teach anything about phishing, identity theft, scams, or any of that in high school, or at least in high school. Yeah, that's the phishing and how to identify websites that are trying to take your password. That's an important skill to know, right?
There should be like a class just called adulting.
Adulting 101.
I'm serious.
Well, you know.
Well, no, they don't put 101 in high school, Rob.
But you know what? Back in the day, some of that they used to call home economics, right? And I know back in the day, it was a class that was mostly aimed at the girls. Although by the time I was in high school, it was a boys and girls class. And you would learn basic, like, here's how to cook and fend for yourself. Like, I kind of think, like, knowing how to not get phished your bank account information online, that's, like, that's the home economics we need in 2019.
Yeah.
No matter what your gender is. Or whatever is expected of you. You know, you need to know all these basics about how to stay safe in an online world. So, anyway.
That should really be, like, a required class versus, like, a second language. I get it. Second language is good to learn. But being able to survive in, you know, the world is probably a little bit more useful.
Being able to speak a technical language is still a bit
exactly.
Of a language. Although, I don't know. I still see
that should be counted as a second language.
I still see some of the benefit. I don't know. We're starting to get into a topic that's way outside video games, but I can see some of the benefit still in learning a more classic language like, you know, Spanish or French or, you know, Japanese if your school offers it or whatever. So,
yeah.
Anyway. All right. Well, let's move on. We better get back to games. Because we could go on tangent train all night long. Let's talk about the other thing that people need to learn how to do. That is not cheat or report cheaters or identify cheaters. And, you know, Blizzard's got this huge game, Overwatch. Like the Overwatch finals third stage were just today, right? And I heard the Shanghai Dragons won. Because Shanghai Dragons was the team that was like, they didn't have a single freaking win. And now they're kind of like the comeback kids. So that's really cool. And Shanghai Dragons is the team that I believe is still the lone female in the Overwatch League is on the Shanghai Dragons. But they won. So yay for them. But anyway, Overwatch is obviously still huge. I haven't played it as much as I used to. But I understand it's practically a sport at this point. And a lot of people are still super into it. And so unfortunately, where there's a lot of people and where there is, you know, pro level gaming and potentially even money to be made, you got cheaters that are out there. Well, in a recent developer update, the game director for Overwatch, Jeff Kaplan, said Blizzard is looking at automatically shutting down matches when it detects cheating. Now, we don't know all the details yet. And that makes sense because usually you don't want to reveal all the details because then the like robots and the things that, you know, help the cheaters cheat try to get around that and get ahead of that. So they're not kind of playing all their cards on how they're going to do this. But it just says that only the cheater will face very harsh actions. You, the non-cheater, will not lose your SR points from a competitive match just because someone joined it wanting to fuck with it and your match gets aborted. So it's kind of interesting. He also mentioned this feature is now live on public test realm servers. So they're already kind of looking into it. And again, we don't know exactly what they're doing because obviously if they were to say what they're doing to detect it, then that would just help the cheaters cheat. So we'll see. But the concept of stopping the match completely because someone is cheating, that's kind of the new thing here. What do you think about that? Like as opposed to like letting it play out or whatever, just stop, the match is done. Because somebody's cheating.
I think it's good.
Yeah, I think it might be very frustrating for some of the other people in it that aren't cheating, but at least their records aren't being impacted or whatever, and you kind of know it's being dealt with, I guess. But I also kind of think the cheaters are still going to find a way around it, but I think it's kind of interesting.
Or do that to, like, fuck with matches.
Yeah. YYR says, wait, shutting down the entire match or just kicking the cheaters? No, it's shutting down the entire match, but only punishing the cheater and not impacting anyone else's score. But like, wouldn't that lead to these weird situations where like your team is losing horrifically, so somebody cheats on the team and takes a bullet for everybody else? But I guess that would be silly because you might end up getting banned and that's not a bullet worth taking probably.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. It's interesting. I'm just kind of interested to see like where that ends up. I'm curious to see when this starts happening on Twitch and you get some, you know, because lots of people play Overwatch here on Twitch, right? So I'm kind of curious to see what's going to happen when some of these like pro level streamers are playing a game, they're streaming it, and then all of a sudden, boop, kill switch gets activated. Kind of like what the reactions are going to be, what that's going to do. I'm curious to see what's going to happen there. So more to come on this. Again, it's in the public test realm right now, but yet to hit the live servers. Who knows if they're even going to say when it hits the live servers, but I guess people will start noticing when their matches just all of a sudden quit, right? Anyway, Dark Sakura.
Well, there is going to be a glorious thing happening tomorrow, which is Monday the 15th on Amazon Prime Day. It is the day the pre-orders for the TurboGrafx Classic or whatever they're calling it, or the TurboGrafx 16 Mini is going to go on pre-order or order or sale or whatever the fuck they're calling it, pre-sale.
Advance purchase,
thank you. It will be released on March 19th, 2020. But here's what's really neat about it. By the way, the Japanese version is going to be 10,500 yen, so about $100. They haven't done a U.S. price on it yet. But this is the fun thing, is that it's coming with 24 American versions of games and 26 Japanese versions. They are going to have both the U.S. and Japanese versions of Newtopia, so not yet 50 games really, because four of them are going to be the same. Sorry, two of them are going to be the same. It's going to be both versions of Newtopia. But among the ones that we're going to freaking get, and here's Jamie being happy, we are going to be getting, of course, R-Type, because Jamie loves R-Type. It's going to have Sapphire, which I've covered as a classic game. Ginga Ohuke Densetsu Sapphire. One of those really awesome shooters. It's going to have Parasol Stars and Kadash on it, which were Working Designs games. Snatcher's going to be on it, but it's the Japanese version. Rondo of Blood is going to be on it. You know, I'm happy, you know, there's Space Harrier. There's Cho Aniki.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Dai Makaimura, which is one of the Super Graphics games, which, Ghouls and Ghosts, but it's a Super Graphics game. Ninja Gaiden, or as that one was, Ninja Ryukenden. PC Genjin, which was Bonk. Salamander. I mean, Super Darius, Superstar Star Soldier East 1 and 2. I mean, I'm just beside myself.
I gotta say, I am, like, I was not expecting the list to go this deep and be this good.
Aldines will be on there, which is another Super Graphics game.
The fact that they're, like, including Japanese stuff that, like, we never even got here, like the
Gradius 2.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So yeah, I
we didn't get Gradius
one.
2 until that Gradius pack came out later.
I feel like more of these will sell than actual TurboGrafx 16s did in America. Maybe.
Well,
I'm
it also looks like they're having both versions of East Book 1 and 2. But it is the U.S. version of Parasol Stars.
Yeah, that's awesome.
JJ and Jeff, Kadash, Bonk's Adventure, Bomberman 93, Blazing Lasers, Alien Crush.
Oh. Those Crush games were so... Is Devil's Crush there too, or just Alien?
I don't see Devil's Crush on here. R-Type.
YYR points out, the TurboGrafx 16 Mini is an Amazon exclusive.
Yeah.
Worth pointing out. So it's the only way to get it.
And we'll see what happens.
I think I'm going to do it.
Someone might stay up until midnight.
Oh, yeah, just so you can get... Is it going to be midnight Eastern, though?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Well, I'll be checking seven... Yeah, I'll be checking in 2 hours.
Yeah. So I think I might get one too. Like I just like the game selection is too fucking good on this thing. So, and there's some real, like, just as a retro gaming fan, just like how rare some of these games are, like the, you know, the Castlevania, wait, that Castlevania game you paid
like 100 bones.
You had like an exchange.
Oh, someone paid
thing.
Me back.
Yeah.
They owed us $100 and came back with Dracula X.
Yeah. So that's, you know, that game has been worth a lot historically for collectors. So it's kind of neat. Bobby Blackwolf says, I'm going to get it. DJ Rama S says, I'm already planning on getting this. SJ100 Matt, I'm considering this. All those comments from our chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. So
you better believe I'm going to be hanging out over here until 9 o'clock. Just
that's fine. Just to make sure. I understand. I'm probably going to be right there with you, honestly. You don't have to pay the entire 100 up front, though, right? You just have to...
I don't know. It doesn't say.
Usually on Amazon, you don't pay until it ships. So
yeah. No. So.
And now Run, Jump, Stop in our chat is like, damn it, now I want it. It's mm-hmm. it's contagious, isn't it? Loki, you in?
I don't
know. TurboGrafx Club, you in?
I do have quite a bit of credit
in... This is on
in,
the Japanese site, though, that it's showing this.
I have quite a bit of credit in Amazon right now, so...
Yeah, actually, I got a gift certificate for, like, a belated birthday present, so, yeah, I might...
Yeah, I got something through my work,
put
so...
Put it towards that, yeah. All right, anyway... let's move on. A few more stories for you guys before we get to the classic game of the week. Loki.
Let's talk about movies and video game movies. Woo. Now, you know this is going to be good because it's a Space Invaders movie. So New Line Cinemas.
Is it going to be good, Loki?
I say that with great sarcasm. So apparently they're going to try to make a Space Invaders movie. And currently the script is being written by Greg Rousseau. And who has also written, I guess, the Mortal Kombat reboot. I don't know. I don't know what the plot's going to be. Doesn't really matter. Because it'll come out eventually, and either it'll be, like, absolute shit, like Pixels, or it may be decent.
Or it could be, like, so bad it's actually kind of good, like Independence Day. That's
sci-fi movie. I want it to be like a sci-fi,
like Sharknado.
Like Sharknado.
Okay, I'm with that. With my space, I want my Space Invaders movie to be so bad it's kind of good.
Yes, I'm down.
I'm with it.
Now, a movie that
Tara Reid to star in, please.
A movie that will probably be pretty good is actually the Mortal Kombat reboot, and they have confirmed. Also, Greg Rousseau had confirmed that. Yes, it is going to be rated R, and yes, there's even going to be fatalities. You're going to be there day one? Because I know how much you love those fatalities.
Mm-mm. Well, I mean, the old Mortal Kombat movie had fatalities, but they were the more like the same fatalities you would see on Super Nintendo. Like, I remember the one guy got turned to ice and then shattered into a million pieces.
Oh,
but
I can't wait.
Yeah, like that was the Super Nintendo fatality, too. So.
I'd probably go see it just for that.
And then doesn't Shang Tsung, like, take the soul out of somebody, too? Like, but those are all very, like, they were fatalities.
I
want to
see the
Super
friendships
Nintendo.
And the bivalities. Like, I think they should have all that.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, if it looks like it's really good, I guess, but I'm going to have to hear how gory it is. Because if it's like on the level of these like new Mortal Kombat games that are just like too much, I may need to just watch it at home and have somebody tell me, "Look away." Okay. All right, you can look again. Like, I'm just going to need to watch it that way. Look away.
I need to see how bad it's going to be.
Pod Culture is asking, will the PG-13 version swap out the blood for sweat? Well, if the movie does well enough, anything's possible. They did a PG-13 version of Deadpool.
Yeah, that's because they wanted to, you know, they wanted more money.
Well, yes, that's why the studios do these things, is to get more money. So I'm just saying, Mortal Kombat may have a sweat version as well, I guess. Anyway, all right. Moving on. Tiger Claw in chat says James Wan, who directed Aquaman, previously did the Saw movies. Also, they cast Sub-Zero. Yeah, that's true. They had a Sub-Zero already cast. I was seeing an article on that. But you know, the guys, just because you directed Saw doesn't mean like I have something against you or something. I just don't care for those movies. But one, I think he did Saw 3 and 4. So one of the
I like
other
the Saw movies. I just don't remember where I left off. And so I don't know what to
start
this,
over. You know, there's like a new Saw movie.
They're rebooting it,
with
yeah.
With Chris Rock and Samuel L. Jackson. They're both confirmed they're in it. Yeah. Chris Rock is the star of the new Saw movie. I'm like, what
I
the
need
fuck?
To see that.
Kind of, I don't associate him with scary movies, but maybe he's trying to reinvent himself. I don't know. But anyway, I didn't want to talk about, well, Saw 3 and 4, the director of those was the guy that did Repo: The Genetic Opera. Which is also, it's a little violent, but it's one of those movies that like kind of grew on me just because like the music is really good. And like, it's Anthony Stewart Head and Sarah Brightman, like in a movie with Paris Hilton.
Is Sarah Brightman not sounding terrible?
Paris Hilton in a role that actually makes a lot of sense for Paris Hilton. Like, yeah, Reboot the Genetic Opera is like, it took a couple watches, but then I was like, I'm actually kind of like, I get why people really love this movie. And yeah, then the whole cult thing, I've been to the Rocky Horror style performances that are really astonishing. And I hear another one's coming soon. We'll see. Anyway, moving on. Tiger Claw says the actor that they got is someone who is in The Raid. Dr. Tsuya says, I wonder if the gore will be in line with Mortal Kombat 9, 10, 11 in that case. I would anticipate probably it's going to be more along the lines of the reboots. So that's why I kind of want to just know more detail. All right. Anyway.
So for the record, by the way, to go back to the PC Engine thing.
Yeah.
I don't see it on the U.S. site at all. The link was for the Japanese site, which links back to the Italian site and the U.K. site.
I'm sure it will be up on the U.S. store. It's supposed to be a U.S. release thing, so it's probably just not there yet.
I'm looking at the early.
But Japan is also on tomorrow right now, so maybe that's why.
Maybe.
Yeah. Anyway, so there was a new game that was going to be on its way out called Iron Maiden, remember? And then there was the whole lawsuit because Iron Maiden was none too happy about that. And I didn't know this. I learned this watching Bobby Blackwolf tonight. I learned things on the Bobby Blackwolf show, believe it or not. And Dark Soccer, you probably know this. Iron Maiden has a pinball table. I did not know. They have like a brand new pinball
table. I mentioned it on the show.
You probably did, but you did it long enough ago where I didn't connect the dots until tonight when Bobby brought it up. I was like, oh, so Iron Maiden does have an interest in gaming and making sure that their name for gaming purposes and gaming protections, like, so they kind of have a purpose to do that. So I was like, this makes a lot more sense why they went after Ion Maiden.
Yep.
So anyhow, Ion Maiden has chosen, instead of going through a big court fight, they are going to change the name of their game. The game is now called Ion Fury. And in a statement, Mike Nielsen, who's the CEO of 3D Realms, said, after careful consideration, we've decided to rename our first-person shooter Ion Maiden to Ion Fury. A lot of thought went into this, but most importantly, it would be a disservice to our loyal fan base and the fantastic developers to drag out a long lawsuit. The amazing gameplay, interactivity, and pure fun is what makes Ion Fury a great game, not the title. And is anyone surprised that this is what ended up happening? Nope. Thought so. It's just, you know, it got settled before it ever went to court and would be a waste of everyone's time. And, you know, maybe they thought Iron Maiden would be flattered. And maybe to some extent they still are, but because of the pinball machine and maybe other things, who knows, this brewing, that, you know, you have to protect your intellectual property, right? It's like Nintendo. As much as we get fed up with how often they shut down sites, if you don't actively enforce your intellectual property, you might lose it. So they kind of have to do what they do. And maybe to some extent Iron Maiden felt that need as well. So anyway, Dr. Tsuya points out one of the local pizza places here has the Iron Maiden table, though I haven't gotten around to playing on it yet. I want to check that out at some point. Does the place downtown with all the pinball machines have it? Because they seem to have a lot of newer pinball machines.
They've had it around, I think, before, but mostly I've just played at cons.
Interesting. All right. Yeah, I mean, California Extreme's in a couple weeks, so I'm sure they'll have it there. I really hope I can go to California Extreme this year, but I don't know. Unfortunately, now that weekend shares the distinction with being the anniversary of my mom passing. So it's like if there's family stuff going on, obviously I'm going to do that instead. But if it works out to go to a California Extreme, I'd really love to do that. So anyhow, well, speaking of classic game shows, why not take a moment to take a trip down memory lane and visit a classic game of the week? Every week, Dark Sakura steps into the gaming vault and finds a game that she thinks, hey, you guys need to recognize the importance of classic games, especially this week's game. This is a pretty big one.
Yeah.
I think that's been highly influential. So let's talk about it.
I went way back for this. Looking at a 40-year-old game.
But this is very important. What is the classic game of the week this week?
Galaxian. Yes, Galaxian came out in 1979 by Namco. It was licensed to Midway Games to distribute and manufacture here in North America. So basically, if you played Galaga, you played Galaxian. It's the same type of game. You have your little ship at the bottom, and you have to kill the Galaxian aliens. They will show and fly in formation. But it was created as a direct response to Space Invaders, which was released by Taito a year before. Its development was headed by Sawano Kazunori, who produced electromechanical shooting gallery games for Namco, and the programming was done by Tashiro Koichi. Anyway, it was they didn't really expect it to do great, but it really was a great seller. They had 40,000 arcade units out in North America by 1982. It wasn't the first color arcade game, But it had RGB color graphics integrated into the animations and explosions, so it really did more with color graphics for its time. And for the record, by the way, the Japanese release was October 1979, and North American was December 1979, so both of them were in the 70s. And then, of course, the successor to this was Galaga. And it actually replaced Galaxian in terms of popularity during the golden age of arcade games. And Galaxian has had other home releases. I'll get into that in a bit. But again, it's a fixed shooter type of game, you know, kind of that gallery style. Your ship is called the Galaxip, G-A-L-A-X-I-P, and you have to kill the Galaxians. So, as far as its development, it was developed in 1979 as well and released in Japan that year. They wanted to take and improve upon Space Invaders, which was, at its time, very revolutionary. So they put in that new technology in its arcade board, and it was also called the Namco Galaxian board. And so it had a full-color screen, it had enemies that moved around, you had your own ship that moved about. And the Galaxian arcade board also introduced tile map hardware, so it would render a tile map that was 8x8 pixel tiles, which reduced processing memory requirements up to 64 times over Space Invaders. So the whole, you know, what into it was really a bunch of innovation from what had been out before. At any rate, we had other releases. We had Galaga. We had Galplus that came out in 1984. You know, went along the same type of gameplay. And then there was Galaga 88 and 87. And then there was Galaga Arrangement that came out with the Namco Classics Collection Volume 1 in 1985. The Namco Galaxian board was also used for later games such as Nintendo's Radarscope and Donkey Kong. So... And then home consoles incorporated a lot of the same technology. So as far as there being other ports, Atari did its own versions of Galaxian for the various 8-bit families, the Atari 2600 and the Atari 5200. There were other ports that were under the Atari Soft label, which released them for Apple II, ColecoVision, Commodore 64, the VIC-20, the IBM PC, and the ZX Spectrum. There were other ports that came out for MSX in Europe and Japan, NEC PC 8801, and the Famicom that was in Japan, and the Sharp X1. Bally Astrocade version was also published as Galaxian, but changed it to Galactic Invasion. Coleco did a standalone mini arcade tabletop. Remember those? The little standalone machines? So they did Galaxian in 1981, and also, of course, did Pac-Man, Donkey Kong, and Frogger. Entex did a handheld version of it called Galaxian 2, and it was called Galaxian 2 because it had two-player mode. It was not a sequel. So at any rate, other re-releases that happened, we had the Namco Museum versions that released. Galaxian and Galaga were bundled together for the Game Boy for Arcade Classics 3. Galaxian was released on Windows in 1995 as part of Microsoft Return of Arcade. There was also a release of it in Pac-Man's Arcade Party 30th Anniversary Arcade Machine. It has also been part of the Jack-specific plug-it-in and play TV game controllers. And then Galaxian, as well as Galaga, Galplus, and Galaga 88 was, quote, redesigned and modernized as an iPhone app called Galaga 30th Anniversary Collection that commemorated the anniversary for Namco Bandai. And then Super Impulse also did a standalone tiny arcade version of Galaxian. Galaxian has really gone into being so... Like, the ship in it has been in so many other games that I'm not even going to freaking list them all. Including multiple Tekken games, you know, Super Smash Brothers, some Pac-Man games. Just basically just all kinds of things, including a game called Tinkle Pit.
That little flower that's at the top of every board, or I guess it's a spaceship, it looks like a flower. That is, like, iconic with Namco. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, of course, the Galaxian World Record was a focus of competitive, issue. There was a actually looks like there was a big rivalry between a British fella named Gary Whelan and an American named Perry Rogers, who faced off at the Apollo Amusements in Pompano Beach, Florida, on the 6th through the 9th of April 2006. And Whelan had the world record of 1,114,550 points and was beaten by a Netherlander named Art van Vliet, who scored 1,653,270 points on May 27th, 2009 at Funspot Family Center in Weirs Beach, New Hampshire. And there you go.
All right, there it is, your classic game of the week, Galaxian, in the arcade. But
that's older than a lot of y'all.
Yeah, obviously on a multitude of platforms later on. So.
I was three.
great pick. Thank you. And yeah, it's kind of it's interesting because obviously I know I used to get that game confused with Galaga all the time, although obviously we understand they have a lot in common, you know, and Galaga obviously built on it with the whole like the double ship thing is very iconic in Galaga. And, you know, just there's bonus rounds
Galplus,
and other things.
Galplus?
I think I've played it once or twice, but I don't really remember it the same. You know, I don't think it made quite
as... I played Galplus at California Extreme. They've had it there the last few years.
Right. But like Galaxian, I mean, you know, it is, yes, an older game. And so if you, especially if you're looking at the footage, you probably go, okay, it looks a little basic. But at the same time, it's like, okay, but consider that Space Invaders transformed the video game industry, especially when it came to Japan. Like, you know, they were running out of the equivalent of quarters over there for people playing those games because Space Invaders was so freaking popular.
I want to say it was like a 5 yen coin shortage.
Yeah. So
it was pretty crazy.
Yeah. And so, you know, Galaxian is this interesting kind of evolution of that. So obviously, you know, it was kind of like, okay, now what does this idea look like 2 years later, where now the Space Invaders move beyond just this marching pattern? And obviously you kind of see all the differences in that game that kind of led to some of the shooters that then followed in the late 80s. I would say, you know, looking at that game in some ways, I see ways that it influenced a game like Gyrus. You know, even though it's, you know, very different and, you know, many shooters that came after it.
Well, and one thing I've, you know, really noticed is that when a game comes out, there's going to be a group that loves it and is going to try to improve on it.
Yeah.
You know, but it's always what I say. Be critical of the things that you love. Always make them better.
All right. Well, thank you for that classic game of the week. We don't have a break segment tonight. We're just going to power through tonight. I didn't have time to get a video done. I have to admit, one thing that also has been taking up my time this past week is that I binged Stranger Things 3.
Yes.
Don't worry. I'm not going to spoil. I might be a bitch, but I'm not that bitch, okay? So I'm not going to say anything, but I did. I actually, part of the reason why I binged it was because I was worried about getting spoiled.
Yes.
So, and in fact, then my husband blurted something out that I guess he had read online or something. And he's like, doesn't blah, blah, blah. And he said something. And I was like, what the fuck? You know, I'm watching it right now. Now, luckily, what he said was kind of not right. So I was thankful. But, you know, I'm like, that's part of the reason why I felt the need to power through, because I'm like, it's just a matter of time before I get spoiled on Twitter. And now I realize some of the things I've been seeing were spoilers. They just weren't labeled as such. So, and they were, I should say, more minor. Don't worry, like, if you're suddenly going through your head, what could have been a spoiler? I'm just saying, there were definitely, like, references I didn't realize were references until, like, oh, now that I'm finished with it. So.
And there's that weird thing that they have going on with where you can download Microsoft 1.0 or something like that, but it's a Stranger Things, like, mini game. That Microsoft's doing. Have you even seen that on Twitter?
I did like a Windows 1.0.
Yeah, Windows. That's what I meant.
And Alan saw at Target, there was one of these, because, you know, I collect these those little mini arcade machines. They had one that was like a Stranger Things machine, but it had like 50 games in it. Because it had some Namco classics in it, apparently, and then some random like Stranger Things games. They all look like garbagey cell phone games. It was interesting that they kind of crammed that all in a little cabinet.
License the crap out of that stuff.
Well, yeah, they're going hog wild with the 80s references with Stranger Things 3 and all that. So, you know, it's kind of, you know. But it's a good show. I liked it overall. Yeah. There's a few things about the plot. But again, I'm not going to go down that road. There's kind of a few things that maybe go, I don't know if I like how they did that. But overall, I really liked it.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good show. Anyway. Dr. Suya in chat says, oh, the Stranger Things mini arcade. I saw a review. It looks awful. It's just a bunch of cheap games thrown in. You know, it's they have these. Go, I swear, when I was at Fry's not that long ago, like in the selection that had all the PlayStation 1 minis trying to offload and some of whatever was left of the NES and SNES minis, there are all sorts of fucking minis now. Like, everybody is getting on board with these minis. And they were already, like, you know.
Is weird.
They sold those little joysticks that had, like, Pac-Man built into it and stuff. Like, they've been selling that type of stuff for a long time, and now that stuff is, like, really exploded.
Oh, that looks like crap.
Yeah, it is. I even told Alan, I said, you don't really need to buy that for me.
Yeah, it's got some Namco games and 16 Stranger Things themed games.
Yeah, and if you look at the Stranger Things games, they don't look. There's like a match 3 and a, you know, it's all your tropes. Yeah, they don't look that great. Let's see. Sia Tiberian chat says, I will not complain about a Winona Ryder vehicle. Well, she's great. And that, what's her name that plays 11? Millie Bobby Brown? They're going to nominate her for an Emmy again. Guarantee it.
Here's the more important thing that they have, though, the Dungeons and Dragons starter set, the Stranger Things edition.
Because that's, yeah, that's a big part of, yeah, absolutely. Everything, everything's got Stranger Things. I will say this, this isn't spoilery. Now that the kids are getting older, and you can actually see, like, they look older, right? Like, yeah. You know, it's been like 2.5 years. You can see them, like, growing up. Now that they look older, because they are getting older, they're not afraid to put them in more danger. And so, like, some of the scenes are really tense because, you know, you might see a kid get hurt because the kids are getting older. So they're, you know, kind of willing to put them in more dangerous scenarios. So it's just kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Moving on. Kaijudo in chat says, no binge. I watch one episode a day in my VR theater. If you binge, you miss stuff. I can say I don't like to binge a lot of shows, but that one I binged.
That's a pretty hard generalization.
What?
If you binge, you miss stuff.
I think it just depends on who you are and, you know, how you watch stuff. So, yeah. SG100 Matt says, apparently they're doing a fourth season and it's reportedly the last. Yes, I've heard that they're going to end it at 4 or 5. And that would make sense because those kids are going to be like full on, like they're probably what, preteens
now, 14,
15?
It's hard
15?
To carry on the story. I mean,
yeah.
It's got to come to an end at some point.
It's going to have to. So
can't have it like, oh, got to save the world again. Oh, got to save the world again. Oh, got to save the world again. It's like you got to at some point.
I think they're looking for a way desperately to spin it off. And you saw that in the last season. And I won't.
Which
I won't
nobody liked that.
Yeah, nobody liked that episode. And there is nothing like that in season 3. I will say that. But I do think there are other ways that they have set little clues that they could spin it off. In. So I think that's what's going to happen. There's only going to be 4 or 5 episodes of Stranger Things, but there will be a spinoff. Absolutely. Fucking look at Game of Thrones. You know, HBO didn't really want that
Which
to end.
Ended badly.
So they're, well, yeah, we all heard the ending was horrible, but we know that, we already know they're
heard.
Getting, huh?
I watched it. Oh, it was terrible.
I don't, it was on Sunday nights. I know you can watch on demand and stuff. I just didn't care enough. But they're spinning that off. So that's what I think will happen to Stranger Things. They do 4 or 5 seasons, then they're going to spin it off. So, all right. Pod Culture says, hopefully they keep the VHS-style packaging for the next seasons. I picked up the first 2 hella cheap at Target. Oh, I'm sure they will. I'm sure. Anyway, all right, let's move on. Let's get into some other gaming news as we travel around and look at some rapid fire, some fast news for the week. Loki.
Yes, some breathtaking mods out there. So we've got one for Metal Gear Solid 5 that allows you to play as, of course, Keanu Reeves. But, you know, John
Whoa.
Wick. Yes, John Wick or Silverhand from Cyberpunk 2077. And, of course, it's amazing. And you can go check it out. Yeah, I think I have this game from some sort of bundle, but, I haven't bothered to actually play it. So maybe I have to go do this now. It's on Nexus Mods if you're interested. And then another game that is on Steam that I know I was interested in when I saw the first trailer for it, because I do love Goat Simulator. However, this does not tie in with Goat Simulator, but it's the same type of thing. It's called Goat of Duty. And it's basically puts the players in the role of a goat with this cybernetic arm that has guns attached to it. And you're basically fighting each other in the Call of Duty style game. But it has a lot of weird stuff that you can do in there. You can throw down tornadoes. You can fake your death. You feign death. It has 250 bleats you can do, which is pretty amazing. But it is out in early access right now, so you can actually pick it up for $5.94 during the launch week, or $6.99 when the sale ends on the 17th. I may have to pick this up.
I was going to say, that was a very specific price, but I get it. It's a discount. Okay, I get it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It's probably like a 10% discount or something.
Yeah, sounds like it. Anyway, hey, if you still have not played the Arkham trilogy, the Batman Arkham trilogy, which was what, it was like Arkham City, Arkham Knight, Arkham, I don't even remember, Arkham Asylum. I don't even remember all the games that were in it, but I know they were all good games though. They were fun. Yeah, Arkham Asylum was the first one.
Yeah.
Then it was Arkham City was the second one, and then Arkham and Knight was the
Arkham
last
Knight.
One.
Yeah.
Okay, so I did get them all the titles right. So anyway, that was the trilogy. Some of you may still not have played it. Well, guess what? Thanks to an Amazon leak, we know that there's going to be a Steelbook release coming out. It's the Batman Arkham Collection Steelbook Edition, which will have, or I could have looked at the story and it's all right here, which will have Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, and Arkham Knight. It's more fun to quiz myself.
But you knew it, though. You were doubting yourself.
But remember, there was another one. There was Arkham Origins that was done by a different studio.
Right.
Yeah, that won't be a part of this. This is the Rocksteady releases. Rocksteady did confirm that there is that the leak was, you know, a legit thing. So this will be happening. And I'm sure, you know, if you're a collector and you like to get things like steelbooks and stuff, this will probably be something you're really into. And it does sound like it's going to be physical discs, not just digital downloads. You will get the post-release content, and there will be, I guess, an Earth to Dark Knight skin for the PS4 edition. Anyway, if you have yet to get this trilogy, maybe now's the time. You can get it on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One on September 6th for $50. They were good games, though. But I didn't beat any of them. I played them all, but I didn't beat them. Anyway, apparently there was rumors this week that Final Fantasy VII's remake was going to be coming out for Xbox One. And this was due to Xbox Germany apparently posting a information about Final Fantasy VII remake and then suddenly pulling it. It was dubbed an internal mistake. And that's all that was there. Apparently, it had said that the remake would come to Xbox One in March of 2020, right when the PlayStation 4 version would come out, which totally contradicted when they announced the game originally that it would be on PlayStation 4 first. Well, in a follow-up statement, Square Enix did say they have no plans for other platforms, which is their nice way of saying PlayStation first. So, but I mean, maybe PlayStation first, but then maybe by the time they get to episode 2 and 3 and this game gets its own inevitable Steelbook edition that has everything in it, because you all know that's how this ends. Maybe that's the one that'll turn out on Xbox One. We'll see. Anyway, Dark Sakura, what do you have for us for Rapid Fire?
So, for people who are waiting for Psychonauts 2, it has been delayed until 2020 to come out on PC and consoles. And it will actually be published by Microsoft as a first-party title, though it is still going to be coming out on the PS4. So there's apologies around, but it's what they're doing to get it out. So it is what it is, right? So in other news, and this is something that harkens back to another thing. It was a classic game that I had talked about. That was by Sunsoft, that came out as Journey to Silius. I talked about the music in it.
Yeah, I was going to say, to be fair, it was classic soundtrack, but yes.
Soundtrack, yeah. But it was supposed to have been a Terminator game. Well, there is a promo video that was acquired by Gaming Alexandria that Sunsoft made to promote the game at Winter CES 1989. Basically, they lost the license for the game, and then... basically, they lost the license after they abandoned the movie plot. So it's just completely, you know, they completely fucked it up. So they lost their license. At any rate, though, there also were, it looks like apart from the video that, some people saw some sprite sheets for it, too. But really, it's the video that's the big one. And if anyone wants to watch the video who's in chat, I'll happily post a link to it. Just don't watch it right now.
Yeah, there's other things going on right now. Yes, I gotcha. All right, pretty cool. All right, it's always fun when we talk about a classic game and then it's like in the news that week or a later week. It's kind of fun how that all kind of circles back around at some point. So, all right. Well, moving on, let's travel around the world and check out some release dates and what is coming out in a game store near you this week. Loki, starting
not
in
much. But there is one game, and it's pretty good. So on the Nintendo Switch, Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, The Black Order.
That's Yeah, some people are going to be interested in that.
Some people. I am one of those people. I wish it was on more systems.
Gotcha. Well, traveling over to Japan, last week was kind of a slow week. I feel like it's picking up a little bit more this week. On July 18th, we get Pro Yakuyu Spirits is coming out. It's a baseball game. Professional Baseball Spirits would be the way it translates in English. That is coming out this week in Japan.
It doesn't have the little bobblehead, guys?
It's very photorealistic, this one. So, yeah, and it actually says they captured the faces of the players from photographing, and 3D data was used to make the models. It looks really realistic.
But it used to be... not realistic that this is the same Konami game.
I think there's pro and there's not pro.
Oh.
I think is the difference. But anyway.
And baseball in Japan?
Oh, sure.
Fairly religious.
Yeah, big deal. So pretty cool that that's on its way out, and I'm sure some people will be into that. And that's a game that like you're not going to ever see released here because it is Japanese baseball, and I'm sure even though there might be some fans of that here, it's just not enough to justify the cost of releasing the game here. So some of you may import that on your region-free devices. Some other games out this week. Kingdom Come Deliverance in Japan this week. Also, Judgment gets a price reduction. And The Sims 4 moves into Best Hits and gets a price reduction in Japan this week. Also, a game called Lotus Labyrinth is coming out this week on the PlayStation 4. Checking out the Nintendo Switch real quick. We don't have that same baseball game, but we do have Lotus Labyrinth is also out there, as well as a game called Sumiko Gurashi, School Life Begins.
Oh, that's I buy those notebooks with the little Kappa character on it. It's one of the Sanex things, or like the Sanex things.
Oh yeah, the little chibi little penguin and fluffy.
There's like
things.
A Kappa. A cucumber and everything.
Yep. It's that's it. He's there in the back of the box.
Yeah, that's it. I have a bunch of those notebooks that I use at work.
Oh, cute.
Get them at Ichiban-kan.
So, this says, they might be able to settle down when they're in the corners, but they don't like being in the center of the room. can relate. All right. Hashtag mood. Let's go over to the UK, Dark Sakura.
We have FIA European Truck Racing Championship on July 27th. On the following games are on the 18th. We have Redeemer Enhanced Edition. We have Cities Skyline Nintendo Switch Edition. We have Kingdom Come Deliverance Royal Collector's Edition. And then last but not least, Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 for Switch.
Which a lot of people are going to be excited about.
Yas.
Was this Comic-Con weekend? I'm surprised we didn't see a lot come out of those panels yet.
Unless people are just like, oh my god.
Yeah, or maybe it just wasn't a lot of, or I guess I forgot to see if there was anything really big that came out of that.
People are still losing their
shit. Will you check some of the big headline sites to see if we missed anything from Comic-Con? I just want to make sure we covered all our bases there. So as far as, I mean, I don't care about the movies. I care more about the, because Marvel was going to have a panel, and the Avengers game was supposed to show up there too. And I remember it wasn't so well received at E3.
And from what I hear, they did show gameplay, and that gameplay is not going to come out.
What?
Like, they're not going to release the gameplay video out to everyone.
Oh, it's one of the in the hall only. Got it. All right. Well, let's move on. We're going to go to the mailbag. Every week, we invite your emails at participate@orangeloungeradio.com, and we read some of our favorite emails on the show, or in some cases,
and
we
Comic-Con's not until San Diego Comic-Con's not until this coming week.
Oh, it's the coming week. Okay. Sorry. I thought we missed it.
No, but I hear, though, that the footage they're going to show, they're not going to
put out. So you got to be there to see it. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Yes, Dark Sakura, one email this week.
Hello, Alar. Hi, YYR. I just wanted to take a quick moment to clarify something mentioned on last week's episode. The Justifier light guns available on Genesis were not a Sega product at all. They were made by Konami. The light guns were specifically created for use with the home versions of Lethal Enforcers games. And if you like your gameplay sanitized, you could get a Justifier for use with Super Nintendo also. Well, that's it. Thanks for bringing us another great show. Yay. Warm regards, Aaron YYR, which I think is absolutely funny that the confidentiality statement at the end of this is longer than the email. Good job.
That's how it goes. Well, you know what, YYR, thank you for another good, I guess fact-checking.
Observation.
In a way, yeah, observation. I like that. So,
thank you for your clarification.
There you go. All right. Well, there's nothing for us to respond to in that, however.
Drag Race talk.
No, we don't get credit. There's no Drag Race on now anyway.
Drag Race Canada's coming on.
I guess you could talk about Dragula.
Dragula? Anyway. Having been to one of the Boulay Brothers events, though, that's a pretty stellar show.
But we got an email, so no tangent.
Ruining
this week.
My fun. Eat a cookie
after the show. I'll have a cookie in a little bit.
Tell everyone what my cookies are like.
But we have—they're good.
All my cookies are good. My cookies bring more carbs to my tummy.
All right, moving on. We got some more gaming stories for you guys, and then we're going to get to our Discord calls, as well as if you have any chat questions. Let's get to it. Loki.
So Ubisoft, of course, released their story creator tool for Assassin's Creed Odyssey that lots of people have been creating their own custom quests and stuff. But of course, like most things, when you put out a tool that allows you to create custom things or mods for a game, you're going to have people using it to exploit easy XP boosting. And so now they've decided to say that here's what Ubisoft says. These exploits risk jeopardizing the overall quality and integrity and purpose of the story creator mode and results in less visibility for the creative, interesting, and frankly fantastic community stories that have been published. That's what they say. But here's one thing you have to understand about Assassin's Creed Odyssey. They sell XP boosts in their storefront. That's why they're mad that people are making free XP boost quests, because they want to sell them to you, and it is in fact jeopardizing the overall quality and integrity and purpose of their in-game storefront is really what it comes down to.
Questbuster in chat really puts this succinctly, saying, I love Odyssey, but the XP grind scaling is so trash. If it wasn't a problem, people wouldn't want to find ways around it.
Yeah, it's nice to create a problem that you can then also create the solution for and then charge for that solution. Yep, that's how it works. So, yeah, just don't do it or you'll get banned. And then, of course, along with banning people for using the story creator, there have been people that have been getting banned in Rainbow Six Siege because... apparently, people have been chatting or filling up game chat windows with random symbols, and this has caused lag and apparently causes people to disconnect with this kind of exploit. So you'll get banned for that now, and apparently they're deploying a fix for the chat symbol exploit. But yeah, their games are all broken. And don't do stuff that they don't like, otherwise they'll ban you.
Yeah, that's right. Don't try to cheat their storefronts or you're going to get banned. You be banned. You be banned. All right, moving on. We got news about a new Turok game, but it probably isn't the type of Turok game you're thinking about. You're probably thinking about like the old school Turok games on what, N64 was the first one, right?
Yeah.
Like those. Yeah, this isn't quite the same thing. It's just kind of rooted in some of the same like stories that inspired the older games. So here's the deal. It's a new game coming out on Steam on July 25th. It's called Turok Escape from Lost Valley. And it's a little more cartoony. It's also isometric 3D. It's not first-person dinosaur hunting. It's still kind of the similar sort of concept where Turok and the brother Andar are in a valley full of dinosaurs, and you hunt the dinosaurs, and it just looks a little bit cuter.
It's super cute.
Yeah, it is super cute. Now, even though you might be like, "What? They're making a new Turok game?" I had no idea. This actually was a finalist in the Universal Game Dev Challenge that was during the 2018 Game Developers Conference, and they took these small teams of Unity developers, brought them together, and challenged them to make games about Universal-owned properties. So that's why Turok was there, because it was...
Thank goodness we got a Turok game and not a Minions game.
Right? Well, it should be noted that the ultimate grand prize went to a strategy game called Voltron Cubes of Volcarion, which is also coming to Steam on July 25th. So,
a Voltron
that?
Game.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, pretty cool. So maybe if Turok isn't up your alley, maybe Voltron Cubes will be. I know Voltron was pretty cool. Anyway, some other just notes about this. The character design from this goes all the way back to the 1954 roots of Turok in Escape from Lost Valley in some of the earliest comics that were originally published by Western Publishing, Dell, and Gold Key. So that's pretty cool. So, yeah, just a very different type of Turok game, but you have to remember Turok is a bigger property than what you might remember from the Nintendo 64. So, and then SSGO100 Matt is linking some articles in chat where you can actually see screenshots and so forth. Though I wish he'd use a better website. But you can look him up on YouTube and stuff too as well. So, All right, let's move on. Dark Sakura, what do you have for us? You have another kind of like gaming science type of thing, right?
Yes, because I love gaming and science. So basically, there was another study that was published, and this was this time by the creative research in the research starting over in the Creativity Research Journal, where researchers analyzed 352 participants to compare the effects of playing Minecraft with or without instruction to watching a TV show or playing a race car video game. So after 40 minutes of play or watching TV, the participants were supposed to create different creativity tasks. And to measure the production, they were asked to draw a creature from a world much different than Earth. More human-like creatures scored low for creativity, and those less human scored high. So it was found that those who had full freedom to do Minecraft on their own, without instructions, they were the least creative. So basically, let me start over. So, I take that back. They were the most creative, while those who were instructed how to play Minecraft were least creative.
Oh, okay. Sorry. So, like, if you were able to be more sandboxy, then that's going to lead to... Okay, I get that. I get logically, I understand why that would happen. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, basically, it's when you have, like, an open world, instructionless sort of thing, is that it really does boost your own problem-solving skills as well as your ability to think around a certain thing. So, there you go. Let your kids play Minecraft. Just don't let them download anything. Shit.
I was going to say, if they were going to make different like space aliens and things like that, I'm surprised you don't play something like No Man's Sky. You see all sorts of different types of, you know, what aliens would look like in that type of game that are like not necessarily human. I mean, there's some humanoid creatures, but there's a lot of like space flying things and all that. So maybe No Man's Sky isn't really a kid's game. I don't know.
Or maybe Spore. Where there's lots of creatures that all look like dicks.
Back. That takes me back. Man, you know what? Mm-hmm. As much as people rag on the way Spore came out, like, Spore will always be the reason why I got to sit in the same room as Will Wright showing off his game. And that, like, you know, when you talk about, when you look back on 17 years of the show, and, like, even though, okay, we're not the most famous podcast out there, we never had our viral moment. We don't make buku bucks doing this show. We all
worked day
jobs. We did
for like a brief moment, then everyone immediately forgot who we were.
Well, I don't even think for the brief moment it didn't really last long. But I will say that one of the things that this show has been able to bring me was that experience. I got to sit in the same room with Will Wright as he played his game, even if it was Spore. Whatever. I think Spore got shit on a little more than it needed. It just, the problem with Spore is that it was just like kind of mini games kind of brought together in a weird sort of way.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was as bad as people made it out to be either. So
anyway. It's really kind of like something that I would think that would do well on cell phones now. Oh God, I gave ideas.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. All right. Moving on, a couple more stories before we open up Discord. So if you want to get in, if you have something you want to talk about tonight on Discord, you can make your way to the Green Room over at the VOG Network Discord server, which all the information is down below on our Twitch page, or you can just ask in chat if you're having any problems. But vognetwork.com/Discord is the place to be.
So apparently there's this new section in Steam called Steam Labs, which has a bunch of new experimental things that they're doing to Steam to kind of make it a little bit better. So one of the things that they're experimenting with is a micro trailer. So that's 6-second trailers that are on every single game. They have an automated daily half hour show about games and an interactive recommender. So one of these things, the automated or the interactive recommending thing is like, it's supposed to work off of like the games that you play in your playing time history, and it's going to use that to recommend new games based on what other people have played as well. So that's kind of neat.
Yeah, but the algorithm part of the Steam store is, I think, when the Steam store started like losing all of its character, and it's just kind of so like, the Steam store isn't great.
Well, they
if
have.
I don't know if I don't like go in there knowing.
They're
what
trying
I get.
To make ways that they don't have to do the curation themselves, and fortunately, that didn't work out well for YouTube, and that's not working out well for them either.
Everybody forgets Steam has a Twitch competitor built into it. but like literally nobody, well, I shouldn't say literally nobody's using it, but it's just nobody I know is talking about it. Nobody I know is out there promoting their Steam streaming. Okay, it's all Twitch or YouTube and shit. I see people promoting Mixer as well. So like those are the ones I actually see promoted. I don't see anybody like trying to build their Steam channel presence. I even think I saw a Facebook gamer the other day that was streaming on Facebook. I even saw that. Don't see Steam.
Yeah.
But the six-second trailers, that's a good idea. That's about the attention span people have for
ads. The micro, what they're saying, though, the other thing that's kind of weird, though, is, like, apparently that those mini, the 30, like, the little, like, game shows, daily half-hour shows about games, I guess it says a lot of it's in text-to-speech or whatever. They said that I don't know. It's just weird. I'm just curious. I haven't actually signed into this, like, to opt in, but I'm curious to see what it would recommend. It'd probably recommend that I start playing some of my fucking backlog is what it would recommend. It's like, I think you probably should stop buying games and start playing the 500 to 600 that you have. It's like, do you even know what half of these are?
Yeah, it should show you 6-second trailers for games you already own but haven't fucking touched. That's what the Steam thing should do.
It's like,
look at what you're missing out on.
They
this
did have that event. They're all like, dude, fucking go play your games that you have. I just haven't gotten around to it. Maybe I will. I thought about like one time, like, you know, I should just film myself playing a new game in my library every single. Well, maybe not every day because that's a little much. But like, I probably could do every day. It'd take a few years to go through.
All right. Well, one more story for you guys tonight, and this is one of those things that. Even though I think in some ways I felt it was just a matter of time, it's like one of those, like, wow, it's really going to be happening. And that is that a new Netflix series is coming based on the video game Cuphead.
Yay!
That's right. The Cuphead show is going to be starring Cuphead and Mugman, or player two, if you will, and their adventures on Inkwell Isle. But we don't know much more. All we know is that in an interview with IGN, the game creators, Chad and Jared Moldenhauer, said it's not a little kid's cartoon. And it will be the same kind of vibe that the game hints at. So maybe it'll be a little more like of an adult cartoon. But I also think those kind of – like the cartoons that work best, why do so many people look back on things like Tiny Toons and Animaniacs and think that those are like some of the best? Because it was humor that like was suitable for kids, but like adults would find the deeper level humor in it, right? Hello, nurse, right? You know, there's things in it that adults would find even funnier. So anyway, what's also interesting about this, it is being animated in-house by Netflix, but one of the producers on this, not just Netflix, King Features Syndicate. They're like the folks that hold like the licenses for Betty Boop, Popeye, like classics. Yeah. So this is it's so interesting how this has come full circle, because Cuphead is arguably inspired by those type of cartoons in the past, and now we're getting an actual Cuphead show. And also goes to show just how many frickin' like video games are becoming Netflix things. Like, we know The Witcher's on the way, right? We just had a story not that long ago about Final Fantasy 14. The Division, if it's not a Netflix thing, it's a Hulu thing. It's one of those, right?
No, Division's Netflix.
Division, okay, the Division's Netflix thing. I thought there was one that was Hulu. What about the Doom creation? No, that was a USA Network. That wasn't a
Yeah, that's USA.
Service. But still, it's kind of interesting just like how many video games are going over. But the other interesting thing about Netflix is kind of in a position where they have to really start creating their own stuff. Why? Because everybody else is pulling their shit off the service and taking it to their own streaming platform. Hence why Netflix is going to lose Friends and The Office in about another year and a half, because Comcast NBC wants to do their own thing.
Yeah, but I've only watched The Office, like the entire series, like 5 times. So I think I'm good.
You think you got it all out of your system at this point?
I think
point.
I'm good. And The Friends, like 2 or 3 times.
But you know, those are two of the most streamed shows on Netflix.
I get it, but like, yeah. Are people really going to pay extra money to like? No,
I think the bubble's going to burst on some of that, and if those services don't think about consolidating, they're just going to kill each other off. And I think it's going to bring back piracy.
It
honestly.
Is,
yeah. I think that's already happening with Star Trek Discovery. People don't want to get CBS All Access for it, so they pirate it. Off international Netflix or whatever. So I think it's already happening.
VPNs.
Yeah. Oh, anyway, Yeah, YYR in chat says, get ready for the dark ages of streaming. And Kaijudo says, never watched Friends or The Office. And SSJ100 Matt says, it all hinges on Disney Plus. Let's not kid ourselves. Disney Plus is going to do very... Just by putting the movies on a streaming service, it's like... instant babysitter for children.
Star Wars, Disney, and Marvel. Yeah.
Disney Plus stands to do very well, and that's what probably...
I just hope they have a package that bundles in Hulu, because, you know, since they're going to be owning that as well, it would be nice to be able to have both services.
Oh, my bad. DJ Roma S says, Friends isn't going to NBCU streaming service. It's going to HBO Max streaming. But I thought it was the other way around. Like, NBC's new streaming thing included HBO. But I guess maybe it is called HBO Max.
I don't know. This is the problem. Like, it's too many. You're spreading it across too many different platforms. And it's just, if it's not going to be easy, it's easier to go download it.
Right.
Or just not watch it. Just like, you know what? I fucking watch Friends enough.
Yeah, or if you really, like, I hate to suggest this, but as long as, like, the basic Netflix for whatever you're paying, like, $14 a month is still strong, they could probably get away with, like, what cable does and say, if you want to add Friends in The Office, you have to pay an extra $2 a month or something, and like, or this suite of NBC shows. I don't know. But, again, is that really any better than a separate streaming service? I don't know. Yeah. But... that's kind of what traditional cable does with HBO and Showtime and those types of things, right? So, anyway. Okay. DJ Rama S says, Friends was produced by Warner Brothers. AT&T owns Warner Brothers. They're the one putting out the new HBO streaming service. Thank you. It's an AT&T thing. That I do remember reading. So, now AT&T wants to get in on this as well. Come on. Too many streaming services. All right. And Bobby Blackwolf says, I just don't watch Discovery. If I'm not willing to get it legally, I just go without. I don't believe I'm entitled to TV shows. But it is interesting because, I mean, so many TV shows are over the air. I think many of us have kind of grew up with that entitlement in a weird way. I get what you're saying. Don't get me wrong. I just think it is interesting when we talk about specifically television because, you know, since we were kids, you could get a lot of that for free. But anyway. I digress. I'm just in the same boat where it's like, if I don't really pirate TV shows because there's plenty that I can watch, and Netflix does still have a lot of good stuff, but the other services do too. If I had Hulu, I'd probably be watching, the Handmaid's Tale, even though apparently this new season's pissing everybody off, but that's all I know. I don't know what the details
are. I flat out refuse to watch that.
I've watched it.
I've heard it's like too scary and not in
I started reading the book and put it down.
Yeah. So,
I don't know if it's like too scary, but
it's not scary like thriller slasher scary, but too scary. Like, this hits too close to home right now. Like, I could see this happening and I don't like it. And yeah, I get that. So, all right. Anyhow, we've digressed enough. I think it's time to get into the listener roundtable via chat, as well as our Discord server over at vognetwork.com/discord. While we're waiting to see if anybody wants to call by joining our green room, we would welcome any last-minute stories. While I wait to see if there's any of those, I would also open it up to our Twitch chat room over at twitch.tv/vognetwork if you have anything you wanted to ask us tonight to talk about or anything like that. So, meanwhile, do we have any last-minute things that are coming in?
No,
not really.
One thing I was going to mention, because I have been reading a lot of different reviews for Astral Chain. I think was it Astral Chain? No, it wasn't Astral Chain. It was the game that was supposed to be like ActRaiser that Sega put out.
Oh yeah,
I hear it's not good.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah. So there's.
I didn't realize it was already out.
Yeah, I think it already came out.
Oh shoot, that came.
But out. Blazing Chrome, the game that's like Contra, very good. Hmm. So.
But that is if you believe internet people.
Yes.
Okay.
But I believe the internet videos that I've watched of Blazing Chrome, and it's very good. It's very 16-bit Contra, and I need that in my life.
Question from Metal Mayhem in our chat room for those in studios. Did you folks make use of the recent Steam summer sale? A big no.
No.
Big no for me. Honestly, just with... Well, I've had a lot. Obviously, you guys know my mind's been going a million different directions when it's been coming to gaming. And I think just because when I am gaming, I'm so into Final Fantasy 14 and like Mario Maker 2 and the stuff I already have. I think I was really able to successfully put my foot down and be like, I don't need to buy any new games right now just for the sake of owning games I'm not going to play. Like, I think I finally was able to do that here in the year of our Lord 2019. Finally able to resist a Steam sale.
I bought something, but I don't remember what it was that I bought. In fact, I'm going to check now because I remember paying for something, but I don't remember what it was that I paid for. You know what I think it was? It may have been Mosh Pit Simulator. It may have been Mosh Pit Simulator. I don't remember.
All right, I'm going to go to another question. If you think of it, great. SG100 Matt says, you know, since Twitch is an Amazon company, this is on people's minds today. What are you hoping to get gaming-wise or in general on Prime Day? Anybody going to be participating in the Prime Day shenanigans?
For the pre-order.
Yeah, the TurboGrafx mini that was early spoken of, I think is enough right there. I do really want to get a 4K television, but
I did last year.
We have other financial stuff going on right now. Like, we just paid off a big dental thing. So I'm kind of like, I just feel like it's not a very adult idea to buy the 4K TV now. But maybe that will be a November, December holiday thing I treat myself and Alan to as a 4K TV. But I think otherwise, because I just bought, like, that TV is not that old. But it's like the price of, when I bought that TV, it was almost, I feel like that TV was almost $1,200 or something like that. I spent a lot of money on that TV.
Oh, you can get 4K TVs much cheaper.
I know, now you can get 4K TVs that size for like $500. Crazy. So that's why I'm kind of like, well, I guess it's time. Which means that TV, if it even fit, would move in here. We'd have this giant fucking television in here.
And it was Mosh Pit Simulator.
Okay, thank you. We're all dying to know.
Yes, and for those who are unaware of what Mosh Pit Simulator is, it is a physics simulator with a lot of these, like, really bouncing around naked dudes for some reason. But it's a VR game. It's really fucking weird. It's like, if you can imagine, like, a VR version of Gary's Mod, I guess, but with, like, a lot of, it's just fucking a weird game that I really need to play on stream.
SG100 Matt says, I'm hoping to get a new PC gaming headset. You know what I should be looking for if I can find a good deal? A new mechanical keyboard, because my current one, I spilled something on it like a dummy, and now it's all fucked up. So I keep looking at Alan's. I'm like, Alan's keyboard is nicer than mine. I want a new mechanical keyboard. So maybe that – if I can find a really good deal on one of those, I might be talked into it. So we'll see. Anything else on Prime Day? Things you got to have? I'll be curious. You know, Twitch is doing this whole – thing for Prime Day, so I'll be very curious. I'll probably be watching some of that. They're really pushing people to co-stream it and doing that, because of course, you know, they want people to know about the sales and stuff like that, which I sadly don't have the time to be participating in that, but I'll be curious to see what other people are doing with it and how everybody tries to make coin off of Prime Day. I'll be very curious about that. So Dart to C in chat says, I feel you. I messed up my old wireless keyboard, had to hit up Goodwill for a replacement. Yep. Dijarama S says, Corsair is having some great sales on keyboards currently. I'll have to look into that. I really will. It just so happens that, like, everything I have right now is Razer. And that's not out of some brand loyalty or something like that. It's just a weird coincidence. But I'm open. No, a good keyboard is a good keyboard at the end of the day, right? So, all right. Well, I guess that's it. There's no.
Yeah, there's not really anything else.
Yeah, it was kind of a slower news week, and I think we made the most of it, though. So there you go. But we do invite you guys, of course, to always send us an email. If there's something we didn't talk about on the show tonight that you want to send us an email for, you can do that over at.
Oh, I was going to. Here's a question.
Participate at orangeloungeradio.com is the place to send your email. Yes, your thought.
I was going to ask you if you'd played because I haven't played it yet, the Dr. Mario game that they put out in mobile?
Actually, yes, I did. Just a little bit. I haven't gotten past, I think the tutorial's like the first 20 levels or something like that, and I'm not even past that yet. But I did download it, and I'm tinkering with it, we'll say that. It's interesting because the pills go up, not down. I thought that was interesting. And it's not like the old Dr. Mario game.
Oh.
I mean, the match 4 concept or whatever is like the old Dr. Mario game, but it's different. And I can also see where it's probably going to get annoying with the money asking later on and all that stuff.
So, all right.
Yeah, Fifth Dream today in our chat says, the Dr. Mario game is trash. Yeah, I haven't heard a lot of good things about it.
I played it. I thought it was pretty fun. It's got the music in it.
Yeah.
I thought it was fun.
Okay, that's, well.
But it reminds me too much of that Sailor Moon game, that puzzle Sailor Moon game.
Gotcha. All right, and some mixed reviews. DJ Ramez says it's pretty good for what it is. So Sailor Moon Drops is what you're trying to think of, also says DJ Ramez. All right, well, I think it's time to go around and get everybody's final thought and wrap up for the week. So let's go around and get some final thoughts. Dark Sakura, you want to start us off tonight? What's your final thought? Oh, actually, sorry. Before you do that, I should, as I always do, plug. Thank you for listening to Orange Lounge Radio, be it on the podcast feed or live on Twitch. We really appreciate the support. And if you enjoyed what you heard here, please tell a friend about the show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But if the voices aren't here live, you know, we have an empty Discord.
Just in your head.
I know. So help us spread the word. Also, auto hosts on Twitch go so far. Even if you're not like a streamer yourself, your friends still might follow you and be curious about the stuff you're hosting. So auto hosts are thebomb.com, and that's a new thing I'm really trying to push. So please consider VOG Network on your auto host list. Okay, now Dark Soccer, your final thought.
I'm a little worried about this link that Brad gave us in chat for getting the TurboGrafx-16 Mini on US Amazon, because it doesn't have anything on there, any alerts or anything. Whereas on Konami's website, if you go in to find the TurboGrafx Mini, it links you to the Japanese Amazon page that only has links to the UK and Italian pages. No links to the US one. So I'm wondering if it might be because it's already after midnight there.
Yeah, I think so.
And the link hasn't gone live, but even so, it's linked over to the Japanese site. Only link, no matter which of those pages you're on.
I'll just try manually looking for it like 2 minutes after 9 o'clock. If they sell out.
No, it says midnight Pacific.
Oh, it's midnight Pacific. Oh, okay.
So that's when Prime Day starts.
If they're not up when I go there to load it in 2 minutes after the fact, then it just wasn't meant to be. And I will deal with that fact for the rest of my life.
I don't think they're going to sell out.
I don't think so either. They're not. The TurboGrafx doesn't have that. To video game fans, like nerds, super nerds like us, yes. But I just don't think they're going to have that same appeal.
That's what people said about other ones.
I guess that's true. That's true. But I am going to. You know what? But here's the thing. I think it's more Dark Soccer. Like, if I can't get one, I'm not going to upset myself over it. I'm not going to. If I get one, yay, nice surprise.
And also, you have a TurboGrafx, so you know.
I don't have one.
No, I'm talking to her.
Oh.
And I'm also going to tell for YYR, who is saying the East Coast is screwed. I think that the Prime Day starts specifically, though, per your region, I want to say. So for you on the East Coast, it might be going live in 30 minutes. So check it out.
Well, then that would suck for us, because then they'd all get to grab it first.
But I'm going to sit and take a look. I'm going to wait until 9 o'clock if you don't mind me hanging out.
That's fine, yeah. I'm still going to check, too.
Yeah.
So, fine by me. If Alan gets back from the gym, maybe we can go.
It's not. Oh, so on there it's saying it's 3 o'clock Eastern is what SSJ100 Matt is saying.
YYR in chat says Genesis Mini pre-orders are still open.
That's the Genesis. And it was a crap machine. The Mini was.
Well, but the new one, there's the new one that Sega's doing, not the, because the old ones were done by a different company.
We'll see.
So, all right.
But at any rate, I'm going to hang around, and then I'm going to go home.
That's fine. All right. So, Loki, your final thought tonight.
My final thought was, I need to play some laser tag. We should play some laser tag.
I'd actually be down. Let's set a
date. I may have to think of something
There's something we can film.
I know. I thought about, like, you know, getting a GoPro or something for that, but like,
what I really wanted to do was, the State Fair started this weekend and they had the Nintendo thing Friday, Saturday, today, but it's gone. Today was last day.
Oh.
But they're doing some weird like e-gaming thing this year.
Huh.
So like esports is like a big, the State Fair is really trying to cater to other stuff. I got to applaud. They're really thinking outside the box with ways to draw people in. Cause I got to say, the thing that I want to go, they have an entire like hall that's dedicated to selfie stations. So they have all these like awesome artwork that is intended for you to take selfies in front of. And I'm all about that kind of vanity. So I want to go to the State Fair just to see the selfie stations. But if the e-gaming thing is out and about and around, I would definitely check that out too, just because I like video games.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a thing. That's a thing they're doing this year. So, all right. I guess that's just me. My final thought. My final thought is, I don't know, because it's being very last minute work. I may go out of town next week. So if there isn't, they told me that I would fly on Monday if I go. But if something happens and there isn't a show next week, it's because I went out of town for work. And day job comes first. That's that. So if push came to shove, though, I'm sure Loki would dance on DDR, or Darkstalker would do a faux LR or something. So you never know.
Maybe I'll finally get around to playing Hotchiful Boyfriend Holiday Star.
There you go. Fuck
no, you know what I would do? I'm going to go play some fucking laser tag.
That's right. You just say, bye, I'm going to OLR, and then go play laser tag.
I'm just going to play laser tag. Hell yeah.
There you go. Hell yeah. All right. That's going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Thank you guys so much for listening to the show this week. We appreciate you guys very much. Have a great week gaming. I'll try to get some Mario Maker levels for you all to play. So take care, guys. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.